Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, ding, ding.
I am your champion, Trebuchet. To my left, the returning Jared Moe, baby.
Gentlemen, year and decade end podcast.
That's right. We got some.
It's a big one.
Some top fives that we're going to count down for you guys in Radio Land. To my right, the one, the only, the wearing the Wolfpack shirt, Chad Showtime. Schultz, how you doing?
You know, gotta wear the Wolfpack shirt because the ladies tell me I'm too sweet.
Big sexy. Showtime Nash,
blind sexy Showtime
blind
Nash.
Blind sexy, all right.
I like
you officially need to change your nickname.
All right, consider it done.
Yeah, so we got a special show lined up for you guys. Normally we break down the Wednesday night stuff, but this particular episode, we are breaking down the top five moments that happened this year in pro wrestling and the top five moments that happened in this past decade. We've all come up with our own top five lists.
I'm super pumped to not be breaking down the Wednesday Wars, because let me tell you, that thing is a drag sometimes.
It's like taking medicine at sometimes. It's just like, all right, we're going to choke this down.
There's a lot to work with.
But I highly recommend watching Temptation Island afterwards, because that's a good palate cleanser. And let me tell you, I really hope that season 3 is as juicy as season 2, because season 2 was so goddamn
good. We were watching
good.
Last week's AEW and NXT, and then we finished up the season 2 of Temptation
not
Island.
Not only did we wrap it up, they had a reunion show that I did not know they were doing, and oh my god, was that a juicy piece of steak.
At the end of it, I was like, that reunion was more entertaining than anything I saw in wrestling this week.
God damn, I had me a fucking lemonade, man. I was just, whew. That was a hot piece of television.
You were a sweaty tribute.
Yes, I was. But anyways, back to the topic at hand, pro wrestling. We all came up with our own top five lists, and they're all slightly different. I've looked at most of them, and there's some constants in there, and then there's a couple of honorable mentions, if you will. So
mine are all going to be off the cuff. I didn't write.
You didn't write any of them down?
Yep.
Do you have yours handy, Showtime, or do we want to go into mine?
We should. We'll start with yours, man.
We'll start with mine. All right, for the year, coming in at number five is Kofi Mania. Him winning the big one, him and his kids at the Hall of Fame was like probably one of my favorite moments this year. That made the Hall of Fame just excellent this year.
Kofi winning the title.
Kofi winning the title, but the whole WrestleMania weekend.
I would say that would be my top one as well. I think Kofi winning the big one.
Well, that's my fifth, number five.
Well, that's your fifth?
I'm going backwards.
Oh, you're going backwards. I would say that's my number one.
Yeah, well, I'm building suspense here, Showtime. I'm an entertainer, always an entertainer.
All right, what's number four?
Number four is the debut of AEW Dynamite, making another wrestling company go head-to-head with the WWE for the first time since TNA tried that way back, almost 10 years ago, I think now.
Yeah, but they never had a chance.
They did not last very long, no. They had Bret Hart on that episode of Raw, and it was over. It was all she wrote. But no, this is a very big moment. I think that as we look back at the year, that we have to talk about AEW becoming a thing.
No doubt.
They announced it, and then shortly thereafter, it debuted in, I think, was it October or September? And they got some big names on there. They're working a lot of the kinks out. As Showtime said, we've been swallowing some of them AEW Dynamite pills, and they're boy. They're big, and they're thick, and they stick in the back of my throat sometimes. Yeah. I do not like them.
But they're babies. It's a baby company.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of optimism. I like Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone doing commentary. I like that a lot.
Like I always say, the better they get, the more pressure that puts on WWE to put out a better product.
And
so
Chris Jericho, you know, is just amazing. Like, breaking out the lexicon of Le Champion was my favorite thing that happened this past month as we were talking before the show started here. That was an excellent moment in wrestling history. So, all right, number three would have to be The Fiend. The Fiend character, everything from the remixed music to even the red lights to the Firefly Funhouses. I love all the total package there.
Do you... Are you still on fire about The Fiend as you were
there? I'm still pretty
you,
hot
you're still him. There? You, yeah. He didn't cool off for you?
Not for me, no. It slumped down at Hell in a Cell, but it recovered nicely.
How do you feel about him occasionally wrestling as Bray Wyatt, like, in the... Like, not as The Fiend?
Undecided. I don't hate it. I've only seen it once.
Did you like the match you had with
Miz? It was okay.
It was clunky.
It was one match, and I'm waiting and seeing what else they're gonna do with this. Because if it's consistently different than the Fiend character, and he wrestles a different style, I'm perfectly okay.
How I would do that is have him wrestle a different style and have him do some selling and stuff as Bray Wyatt that he's not doing as the Fiend.
Yeah,
kind of treat it like Balor Demon, but much more common than him being he's not the demon that often.
Right.
But a kind of tree where, like, that's his other level, and maybe even having some lose some matches is Bray.
Yeah. Right.
And then when he's the Fiend, he's unstoppable.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to take that.
Yep. I do too. Coming in at number two, the crowning of the former constable.
Oh, dear God.
The Gold Gloves champion. Yeah. Grand Rapids' favorite son, King Baron Corbin, your next WWE Universal Champion.
Yes. You're covering a lot of bases with that statement.
Yes, I am. All right. But that's my number two. That was wonderful. He's doing the King gimmick.
And
so good right now. He's running with it. It's my favorite King since King Booker.
And can I guess your number one?
You may.
When we went to Raw and Dolph Ziggler beat Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler.
Honorable mention was No Way Jose right here in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wait. Your number one is when the Revival came in won the tag team titles at Raw while we were there.
I definitely don't remember that. I do remember No Way Jose being there as well. And he did a victory lap around that very ring. But seriously, folks, coming in at number one, my top moment in pro wrestling this year was Roman Reigns announcing that his leukemia was in remission. That was my favorite thing that happened all year.
Yep.
And three claps for Roman. Big Dog is back, and he's more over than ever, and I'm just happy to have him back.
Mm-hmm.
The product is better for having him.
It really is. I think.
And his feud with Corbin was excellent. We saw that at the live event.
Are you liking the dog food stuff?
The dog food stuff is...
I know that people are kind of shitting on that. I don't hate it. It feels kind of Memphis, but like I'm not mad at it.
I've seen worse.
Yeah, I've seen way worse.
It's
not my favorite thing, but I also feel like the people that are being really hard on it right now they just want to nitpick
bear. It makes sense. Right. Roman claims to be the big dog. They smeared him with dog food. It's a kind of a slap in the face, and people want to see Corbin and Ziggler and the Revival get theirs because it makes sense. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. It got him heat, which he is the best at doing because he comes out and the boos just rain in, and it's amazing.
I hate
Baron
Corbin.
It's very entertaining.
But I'm supposed to hate
Baron. Goddamn right.
So when we were at that live event when he fought Roman, Baron Corbin came out and that crowd would not quit. But like,
well, the thing is, it's like
he was the only over heel that night. Right. And everybody else.
There's a lot of clapping and stuff like that. When Corbin came out, they were on their feet angrily.
Yeah,
which is
the worst thing
in the wrestling business is silence, and Corbin is anything but silence from the crowd. It's amazing the amount of reaction he gets. And he didn't say a word. They just hit his music. Then he came out. Then he started talking. And then the boos got louder because he obviously let us have it. It's a bunch of humanoids. And I saw the guy he pointed at. That guy was not a looker.
he was front row. He made himself a target the whole night. The Revival came out and were fucking with him.
Yeah, that guy definitely had an extra
chromosome. Orton flipped them all off. Jeez.
Wow. It could have been us. Like, we were getting, like, perspirated on. It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing.
But back to Roman Reigns, like, it was so funny. Like, he was getting shit on so bad before he, like, you know, he's been pushed down our shoved down our throats. Then he went away. Then he, like, announced that leukemia had come back. And all of us were like, I mean, I always liked him.
Yeah.
And I think most of us did.
I personally think he was overexposed. I was on the I'm tired of seeing Roman win everything.
I felt
the same way when John Cena was winning everything.
Yeah, like, I was tired of Super Roman. I think he's got everything he needs.
I'm not asking for 50-50 booking. I'm just asking for give somebody else a run. Like,
but then he was away for what? 3 months?
It wasn't that long. It really wasn't that long.
It wasn't terribly long. I think when he came back,
the product kind of suffered.
When
he was gone. Everybody was kind of like,
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know the argument is that Roman Reigns not being there caused the product to suffer. I think it was because so much of the product was centered on him at that point, and WWE had to basically throw all their papers in and they're like,
right,
well, fuck, what are we doing now? Quick transition.
It's a life event that had to dictate that the writing and the creative be something else.
Beyond tearing an ACL or, you know.
No, it's life and death. It goes beyond anything that happens in that pro wrestling.
Comes back.
It's this now, guy's life was on the line and he beat it and he came back. And it's everything that pro wrestling should be. It's a feel-good story and it's just number one for me.
Yep.
So.
Agreed.
So for me, my list, I would say number five would be Becky Lynch becomes the man.
That was an honorable mention for me. Yeah, like, I wanted to put it on there,
I feel like the big moment, I would say, like, overall, it's number five. But I think the biggest moment of it, the turning point, is she'd already been getting over a little bit, already cutting some good promos. SmackDown invades Raw.
Nia Jax
just destroys her nose.
Potato in the fuck out of her.
Just shattered her face. And then you've got Becky still standing tall, just on her face looks like hamburger.
That was a very, very good moment.
If I
had a top 10 list, it would have been on that list, is what I'm saying.
The image that comes to mind is like that zoom in shot when they're in the crowd and she's still in the forefront, just nose off to the side, just hollering at.
That visual is similar to Steve Austin passing out from the sharpshooter. Yeah. It's like they're tough, but they're still going. Like,
when Becky Lynch goes in the Hall of Fame, that image will be in the package.
Has to be. Yeah. It has to be. It was definitely a turning point. And then Becky Two Belts came along after that.
And then you got Ronda and Becky and stuff. You got all that.
She defeated Ronda. She was the only person to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, like, so
that was a very clunky Hall of Famer. End of that match, but it kind of...
build to it was great. Like,
that's one of those. That's one of the things that you're gonna forget the match.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna remember the build.
You remember the moment.
Yeah,
the moment that it caused.
Yeah,
and you don't forget. You don't care about the match.
Number four, I would say, is The Fiend.
Yeah.
Man, I remember when the first time before even the Firefly Funhouse debuted. But, like, you and I were enjoying some chocolate cake as Jared said. I remember that, like, the buzzer doing the laugh thing. And remember, like, you just looked like the thunder. Like, I remember, like, dude, I don't fucking like this. This is creepy. Like, I'm too high for this shit. And then when it changed to the Firefly Funhouse, when it became like that, like, the kids show, they're like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, like, no, it was like, I gotta see, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at.
Yeah,
but
we didn't know what to
expect. Herman on mushrooms.
No, it was like a bad trip Pee Wee Herman. He's a demented Mr. Rogers. And when he debuted, we against Balor, like, our wrestling parties are loud.
Yes, they are.
And they're not always wrestling fans there. Sometimes, like, even when there's big stuff going on, there's
a party. Trebuchet throws a killer fucking party. Chili Fest is coming up. We're going to have a bunch of wrestling fans there. We're probably going to have some non-wrestling fans there. Everybody's welcome, and we are just... Try our chili. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And, you know, we're a big community. That's what we're all about.
But, like, so even when there's good matches going on, people are talking about other stuff, because there's not everybody's interested. When The Fiend debuted... There was not a word being spoken by anybody that wasn't, what the fuck is this? Like, everybody, no matter how into wrestling you were, whether it was your first time or you've been watching for as many years as you and I, you know, Trev and IMO have.
Yes.
It was enthralling.
Yeah, no, it was captivating.
So, he came out with the lantern of his head.
I fucking want one of those. I did not get that from Santa Claus. I got fucking coal instead, which was very thoughtful because I need to burn shit out here. It is mine, you know. So
you got a visit from Santa Claus.
Okay.
Balls Mahoney in 94. That's a deep fucking cut, you guys. That's the first Santa Claus reference.
I shook his hand at WrestleMania 23.
I met Balls Mahoney as well, actually.
rest in peace.
Yeah.
But
no, and then you had so that first match and like the Hell in a Cell, which we weren't all happy about, but again, we were all eyes locked to it.
Yeah.
They were having Bray Wyatt go out and sell tickets for Hell in a Cell with the news stations just going out as you know, Funhouse Bray.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite stories all year. We're not selling tickets. Let's send Bray out to the local media.
Yeah,
one day, the fucking thing was booked,
What's the Funhouse? Or what's Hell in a Cell? That's the bad place. Like,
where bad stuff happens.
That's bad. The Fiend's gonna get... Like, it was, it was great. I mean, even W's marketing with him, like I said, if you remove Hell in a Cell, which was a big old fucking debacle, if you remove that from it,
yeah,
The Fiend may be the most over thing WWE has put out in a long time. Becky Lynch, most over woman. Bray Wyatt, most over over heel, you know, male. And
he taught people into the arena.
He sure did.
And that's a lost art that I admire a lot.
He sure did.
Because it's all about putting a butt every 18 inches. It's talking people into that arena. If there's not people in that arena, I don't care how good your product is. I don't care how good your wrestling is. If nobody's there to see it, it does not fucking matter.
Right. I would say number three for me is the Roman Reigns leukemia.
Okay.
Huge
moment.
Yeah.
Huge moment. Like, him coming back, like, that... It was such a feel good.
It was a touching moment, and
they got him right back in.
Yeah,
and it was physically,
and it was organic too. It was not manufactured by the WWE machine. It was like, this is life.
And I think that's why he's gotten over. Is it didn't seem like WWE was pushing him as a superhuman. Roman Reigns had cancer.
It humanized him.
He was over as a face because people felt they could relate to that in some way. They themselves, or they knew someone.
Exactly.
I mean, how much more are those Make-A-Wish things? How much more meaningful are those now?
In retrospect, I'm like, wow, this is way more touching than I initially thought it was.
I was just going to mention that, like, the one that really got to me was, like, there's a kid cutting a promo in like a hospital hallway going, you know, you think you could beat me? I beat cancer. Was that good? And it's Roman Reigns holding the cancer.
Yeah.
I couldn't say shit, why isn't the roof leaking in here?
Man, I got some fucking allergies going on right now.
This is weed, man. It's really good. My eyes are all red. But no, like, I think that has gotten him over better. I think I'm happy for him as a person. And I think that, like, the Connor's Q stuff has had a whole new layer to it because of a cancer survivor being a top guy in the company.
I've always liked that Connor's Cure stuff, man. Hall of Fame and all that stuff. Like, every time they do that stuff for the kids, I'm just like, yes.
When he went in the Hall of Fame, like, that speech, like, Daniel Bryan gave.
Yeah, dude.
I
was amazing.
Cried like a baby. I was just almost on the road. It's
coming up. We're almost on the road to WrestleMania. We will have a good cry.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that calling it the Warrior War is a crock of shit, though. That guy's Warrior was a bad person. There's no reason they should be naming cancer kids after that.
He had redeemed himself. And
it's after the character, as far as
I get it. It's just
it's
for someone that went on record just bashing all sorts of people. You know, I don't know. I think it's a bad taste.
It's fair,
but
I like what it stands for. I'm willing to overlook it.
I just wish I didn't have to.
Fair.
Actually, I told a lie. Actually, my number two is Kofi.
My number two is Kofi.
I was super happy. He got there. It felt like it was a quintessential WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
Kofi wins the big one after however many years.
11 years, man.
Yeah.
11 years.
I really wish that they were doing more with him trying to chase the belt still, but...
If he wins the Rumble, I've been saying this for like a month now, he's going to win the Rumble. He's done everything else in there.
He's but not winning.
Way too early pick.
Due to Xavier Woods' injury, they have... And obviously the New Day isn't breaking up anytime soon. They just came out with a podcast, but... They got to keep them relevant, so they got to keep the two healthy,
I guess, New Day
members together.
I also, but I also think that there was probably no plans to have Kofi in that title picture anyway.
Probably.
Do you think that Kofi's gonna feud with the Fiend ever here?
Maybe at some point. I can see.
I think that's a good contrast to Power Positivity taking on the Fiend.
We're so close to Mania, and my guess is it's going to be Roman Fiend Mania. And the question will be:
you think it's going to be Roman Fiend?
Yes, I have very little doubt.
That's what I've been seeing.
Roman Fiend will be the match.
Interesting.
Which would be, I mean, you got the undefeatable, the unstoppable Fiend against Roman Reigns. I think that
I'd rather see Braun Strowman.
If against the Fiend.
Nothing against Roman Reigns, but I've seen Roman Reigns main event WrestleMania. I feel like Roman Reigns is almost at the state where the Undertaker was at. You don't need to put the belt on Roman. Yeah. I think that Braun Strowman has all the potential to be the world champion. I think it's a crock of shit. He hasn't had it yet.
Big Show and him right now though with the whole
dance. I mean, even Big Show won the title though.
Yeah. True.
Not just WCW, but in WWE, he became a legitimate threat because he won the title.
But, like, that's the thing. Braun needs a title.
That's what I'm saying.
He needs the belt, and he needs to hold on to it.
No, he does. He does need some legitimacy from that. Given from that,
he was really over when he was on Raw, smashing everything.
He still is.
He should have won the title already.
He should have beat Brock for that belt.
He should have.
Braun Strowman should be on my list, but because they keep, like, kneecapping him, I can't put him on my list. So I love seeing him every time he's out there. He's captivating. He runs guys over, and those shoulder tackles are brutal. I love him.
Yep. So for me though, I feel like we're at a point where Roman Bray is unavoidable. So for me, I just really hope Roman doesn't win. I hope Bray beats Roman at Mania.
Mm.
And then from there, we can get some more interesting feuds. Because every feud Bray has had at this point has been interesting.
Yeah.
And I do like the angle that, like, everyone that faces the Fiend is different after. Because you lose to him.
Daniel did
that. And then your character's doing something cool after that you don't even need to be in the title picture post-Fiend because you're doing something interesting after. Seth, Daniel, Miz.
You're recovering.
Balor. It's Balor went to NXT and turned heel for the first time in his WWE career.
Yeah.
Everybody post-Fiend has done something interesting. And if the writing aspect is have the Fiend beat someone and then have them do something different, I hope he holds it for a while. I hope he does that with a few more people because I could really enjoy that shakeup of character.
Yeah. It doesn't make you as predictable and as, like, robotic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My number one, though, is the return of Daniel Bryan.
Return to Daniel Bryan.
Return to Daniel Bryan is number one for me.
Coming out of retirement, that was huge.
Yeah, I didn't think that was ever going to happen.
Like, this year he just came back?
I'm pretty sure that was the beginning of the year he came back, right?
You have to look it up.
I think it was last WrestleMania. Not this past one, but the one before.
But was it 2019, though?
No, it was 2019.
I think you're off by a year, yeah.
Am I off by a year?
I think so. Has he
been back for a whole year already?
Yep, because he had the title run for a while.
Yeah, I thought he... Yeah. Well...
Yeah, I think you're off by a year. I think you are right, because he had two WrestleMania matches since he's been back.
Yep.
One was a tag match that didn't, like,
with
mean...
Shane McMahon.
That didn't mean Jack.
Okay, nope, you're right. He did come... Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that
he
was...
lost to Kofi.
Because I would say that Daniel Bryan is also... We're talking about decades. That would have been high up on my decade list. I thought that his return was at the very beginning of last year, but I guess my concept time isn't great.
That's fine.
So I will say rather than...
It's good stuff, though.
So then...
Save that for your decade.
Sure. So then for Kofi would be number one... I'd say probably floating around in there somewhere for 2019 would be the NXT invasion. Like the whole
Survivor Series time.
I mean, honestly, the whole Wednesday War thing definitely would be on there. And I think that the part about that I've enjoyed the most is we'll call Kofi number one. We'll call number two the Wednesday War, but specifically AEW starting is cool, but it hasn't really delivered for me. I'm not by any means ready to give up, but I feel like they're not impressing me so far. NXT, however, and being kind of bumped up in credibility to a main roster brand, I feel has delivered. And my favorite part of the Wednesday Network so far is the guy's getting held up in Saudi Arabia, which is his own set of problems, and the NXT guy's coming in and just all of the creative stuff that did for the product. I think that seeing those guys on the main roster a few times did them a bunch of credibility.
Mm-hmm. It legitimized that show.
Yeah.
The SmackDown had a buzz around it that it hasn't had in a long time.
No, I mean...
Like, everybody was talking to me. I didn't watch it live, but everybody was like, did you see it yet? You have to see it this week. Right. This is a very big deal. Like,
it's just, it's given us...
And I heard all the build-up before I saw it. I'm like, oh, the main roster is stuck in Saudi Arabia, so they're doing something different. That's all I knew. I'm like, all right, I really want to see this now. And I was not disappointed. That was a very good moment.
I really think that it gave... I know you don't like Undisputed Era, but I think that it showed that...
No. We talked about this. I like their music. I like their entrance. After Adam Cole goes... Boom! I'm done. That's one of the fun stuff.
That is absolutely true. You started out really not liking them, and as they've come out the last few times, I've seen you do the boom thing.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm like, you're starting to feel like, you're like, I like the entrance.
I do. No, I
got it.
I love the showmanship. I love the posing. That's going to get over with me the more I see it.
Know Vince likes him 6'7", 300 pounds.
Well, yeah, that's the size of a wrestler.
So is Trebuchet.
Yeah, well.
But no, I hear Lars Sullivan's
this.
Stop reading my diaries.
This is our Vince, is what I'm saying.
That is not a compliment. That is not an insult.
But, No, I really...
Shut up!
If I had to make like a top 20 list of entrances, I would put Undisputed Era pretty high. Just because
four of them together is very clever. Yeah,
they're all synced up. You know that they spend a lot of time in the training center just working on... Oh,
yeah. No, they're in the mood. Doing one thumb, two thumbs, thumbs up, thumbs down, over the shoulder, behind the back. With a prop, without a prop.
But they each got...
on each other's shoulders, on the corner turnbuckle. There's a lot you can do. I just bought WWE 2K15, 16, 17, and 18. I've been spending a lot of time customizing guys.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, I did that. GameStop had a buy two, get two free, and
I gotta know what the cashier said. They give you a look or anything?
No, the cashier was really cool about it. I got the original cases to 16, 17, and 18. He looked for 15 for me, but he's all like, 18's really good. I was playing that 18, last night.
18 is the 18's the one I'm still playing.
Is it? You have 19, don't you?
No,
No, you bought 19, you don't have 20.
You're right. I skipped 18. I have 19. No, that's 19 was the first one I skipped in a while. Or 18 was the first one I skipped in a while. 20 I'm skipping as well.
20 I hear is the drizzling shits.
19 is the... Honestly, I would say 17 is probably the best one.
I'm playing through them all. Like, I'm playing 14 on my PS3. Well, I have the series. I have them all since
17
like
is the one with Brock 10. On it. 17 is the one with Brock on the cover, right?
Yep.
I don't know. I can go get them. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would say that
15 has Cena on it. I know that.
Yep.
18 has Seth on it.
Then 19 has AJ.
Yes. Yeah. 18. I skipped the one with Seth. The one with Brock Lesnar on is probably the one I've spent the most time with. But 19 with AJ is really good as well. 20, I'm not gonna get near. Hopefully,
I hope they fix it. I just want them to fix it.
I don't think they will.
You don't think they're gonna fix
because it because they're still in a situation where they don't have a publisher for it right now.
Really,
like they lost Ukes.
Yeah, I heard that.
We've been doing wrestling games since SmackDown games.
Yeah, no, they've been there forever.
My guess is WWE 2021 or whatever it's called. Will look very different than wrestling.
Still going to do one?
I don't know. At this point, it's kind of up in the air. My guess is they will probably, whatever they do, they will probably start from scratch.
May not be the worst thing for them.
No,
the game.
Because
the
honestly,
game, what, the last time we had.
This game's been the same since 2011.
Yeah, no.
Like, it's.
I just said, like, I have them all.
Essentially, like, roster updates since 2011. And,
yeah.
And
that's the thing. That's why I get the games like after they've been out for a while, because like they're essentially the same game, but the roster's different every time. Mm-hmm. The story's different every time. I really liked the running through the Attitude Era stuff. I thought that was really cool.
The
WrestleMania moments, I thought that was really cool.
The gameplay of the newer ones, like they've made some new changes. But that Attitude Era roster was probably my favorite roster in one of the games.
That
so
game
far.
Was probably my favorite 2K game so far. Mm-hmm. I think that was the one with CM Punk on it. I don't remember which one it was exactly.
What were your top fives moments, Mo?
Yeah, hit
my
us
top
up.
Fives. Like I said, they're going to be off the cuff a little bit. But I gotta say, the beginning of the Wednesday Night Wars is number 5.
Yes, sure. That was, yes. I remember Iron Mike Bustler had a tablet and his phone, and he was simulcasting them, and it just made me get all of my feels. I'm like, this is what it's all about.
Yep.
It took me back to the 1990s, having two TVs. I had Raw on one, and I have Nitro on the other one, and I'd watch them both, and I'd be fucking tired as shit for school on Tuesday or whatever, but still. Yeah. Didn't care.
They knew Treb was doing shit on Tuesday.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm be here. I ain't gonna be worth a goddamn.
Right. Like, oh, it's Tuesday. Treb's gonna be sleepy.
Probably wearing my Sting shirt, but anyway.
Number 4, I gotta say, has gotta be the rise of Becky Lynch into the Man.
Yep, that was very good. Very good stuff. We covered that a little bit. Becky Two Belts and the Ronda Rousey feud. That was fun.
Number 3, and sadly we didn't get to see the finale of it all. Was Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah, I hear good things.
You're
about
still gonna the final chapter of that story is yet to be written.
Yes,
Gargano's back.
Yep,
he's jumping Balor.
Yep,
and my guess is they're gonna have them both be baby faces for a while.
Yep,
but I can see Ciampa's
gonna turn.
You think Ciampa's gonna turn again?
I think Ciampa's gonna turn.
I feel like Ciampa is the most over babyface in NXT right now.
So
and
that's
he's got a stone coldness about it. He's an anti-hero.
Well, which is why I don't feel like a heel turn would work for him.
They tried that
with Austin.
They're not gonna boo him
at WrestleMania 17, right. And they're just all like, oh.
Which is
very interesting that WrestleMania 17, when Austin went heel, it felt like pro wrestling fans were all like, this is fake. We hate this. This is not what we want.
Because
that moment felt very weird. It's because they loved it. It was hometown. They didn't need that.
The fans didn't want it.
They didn't need it. No. Like
the fans were invested in Stone Cold as a character, and him joining McMahon was not something Stone Cold would do. They believe the funniest part was people thought for a minute McMahon was turning face.
Oh really?
When McMahon helped Stone Cold, like people said, like, is McMahon turning babyface? Like
that would have been better. That would have been weird.
But then you would have had babyface Vince and Stone Cold beating up babyface Rock.
Yeah, right? it was one of those things where people were so invested in liking Stone Cold that they were more willing to accept Vince McMahon was being a good guy than Stone Cold was being a bad guy.
Exactly. It was very interesting, but I did enjoy like the guitar stuff he had with him and everything. Yeah, like, it was fun. It didn't work out. It was very odd.
Yep.
So.
But I do think we'll see that that's coming again down the road. That was number 3. Number 2, I gotta say, is The Fiend. You know, that's everything that has been done there. I don't even have a. I have a problem with how they ended the Hell in the Cell match.
I didn't like the match. I really didn't like the match.
I liked this cockroach that just could not be killed.
I don't like kicking out of that many finishers. That bothers me to my core. It's everything I stand for.
But I liked it, you know, him being buried by all the chairs and then the final, you know, sledgehammer shot. Was that what it was? Sledgehammer shot?
They ended it with the sledgehammer. Yeah. And then the referee called that note. The finish, we were just like, right. Wait, huh?
Well, I'm like, no.
None of us knew what the fuck happened.
There's supposed to be no rules. I say, have him, you know, get out of it. Hit him with whatever move he wants to.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what they did anyway. After the match, Bray still stood tall.
Right.
No, but I didn't like the way it ended. If the referee calls the match, you award that match to Seth for fucking doing the deed and put the opponent down. Yeah. It's Hell in a Cell. It's what it's supposed to be.
It should be like a boxing or an MMA match. If the referee pulls you off of the guy because you beat him up too bad, you win the match.
You win the match because it's a fight. Like, that's how you win a fight.
And if it were a normal match and the referee said get back and you don't, then you disqualify because you're not obeying the ref. But in a Hell in a Cell match, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
The ref is there to count a pinfall or record a submission.
But it just shows you how good The Fiend is to for that shitty of a match to just be like, we're willing to overlook it.
Yeah, we are. Honestly, it destroyed Seth. Like Seth Rollins had to go become a heel after.
Yeah, no, they're rebuilding Seth. Running with AOP is going to be good.
Seth is going to be okay, but people were buying Seth as a babyface a little bit.
Yeah,
And that fucked him up so bad that they're like, we gotta turn Seth heel. Well, these fans are shitting all over
Seth, him. Seth by himself is not good. Seth with two cronies is very good. Him and J&J Security, that was my favorite Seth Rollins.
No, Seth had been the conquering hero all year long. It had just run its course and they needed to do something different.
It got stale. It got stale.
Seth was doing okay as a conquering hero, but it wasn't the best. I really think Seth Rollins, especially the way he talks.
He beat Brock Lesnar twice this year.
He did. I'm well aware. But my whole thing is that specifically with the way Seth Rollins cuts a promo.
Oh, he's a whiny little bitch.
No, exactly. Seth Rollins talks like a Rat Fink pussy. He's not. He talks like a guy you can beat up. He's not a good talker in the sense that is a babyface. He's not gruff. He's not tough sounding.
He sounds like he just tied a lady to the railroad tracks. Like, yeah. Meow.
No.
So that's why like people hated Triple H's promos. I always liked
Triple H. Triple H is good on the stick. I don't know why anybody talking.
Like, oh, he's really slow. And it's who cares? It's good.
He's a wrestler. Yeah. He can tell a story.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of guys that can tell a story with their mic work.
But Seth Rollins, as a Weasley heel with two big bodyguards,
doesn't need to be big. Like J&J Security were small guys.
Sure,
like,
but I think having big ones, I think accentuates. Yeah, Seth Rollins, that's a guy I could beat up. I bet. Like it.
Yeah, but now that he's got the AOP with him, you're gonna think twice about saying something.
Like, you're like, what do I do?
But I like this. I gotta get to my number one yet. But is with Seth and AOP, that just means there's gonna be a feud down the road. The club is gonna go face against.
I love it.
I guarantee you, man.
I love me some AJ Styles. Very phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. But number one,
honorable mention is AJ Styles hair flips this year.
big fan.
Big fan. First time caller.
My number one is obviously the Roman comeback.
Yeah.
I do have an honorable mention in there.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley beating Shayna Baszler for the NXT women's
title. That was very recent. That was a very big moment. That was very good.
Obviously very recent.
That was a big deal.
Very
good episode of NXT. Very good.
There's talk Shayna might be going to the main roster. Because maybe she's up in the air. Maybe immediately or Vince was very impressed with her. I'm going to say it right now.
She's going to be in the Rumble.
Yeah, she's going to be in the Rumble. I guess she may win it.
She may win the women's.
I could see her winning the women's rumble. I don't think Kofi's
my men's pick right now. Shayna's my women's pick.
She's an ass kicker.
I think Shayna winning the women's rumble and challenging Becky Lynch for the honor of Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
I think is a very plausible, very good storyline.
All right. Yep. Do we have anybody else?
Several.
Because I asked our wrestling chat to give us their top five. Mo's going to break those down for us in just a few minutes as soon as he gets his internet loaded up.
Well, he's working on those. Who do you think is posed to have the best 2020 right now? Who do you think is going to be the breakout star of 2020?
Baron Corbin.
I would say Fiend. Yeah. I don't think Fiend is eligible because Fiend's had a like.
He's the champ right now. He can't break out.
It's keeping going.
Do you think 2020 is gonna be your Baron Corbin?
I've been saying it for a long time.
Baron Corbin will win the Universal or WWE.
That's what I'm saying. He's got it.
I think that'll very likely happen. He might actually be
the next. Whatever this
WWE thing. Universal Champion. I've been saying it for a very long time.
I don't think he's going to be the next one because I don't think he's going to be Bray for it, but I can see him winning it down the line. So beating someone for it.
He wins that title, people are going to hate him.
Oh, for sure.
They hate him now, but you give him the belt, they'll have to listen to him.
People will throw trash.
I love it. He is just so hated, and he's just like everywhere. It's universal.
But for me, I'm thinking it'll be one of three. It'll be the year of Keith Lee. It'll be the year of Matt Riddle. Yep. Or it'll be the year of Aleister Black. I think that all three of them are posed at very good 2020s. Yep. I think that they have very strong people behind them in booking. I think that they're all three are very over. I don't know who's going to do the best.
Yeah.
But barring injury, I think they're all three going to have very good years. My guess is it'll probably be Aleister Black. He's already on Raw. Yep. I could see Aleister Black beating Brock Lesnar.
If he stays healthy, ooh, they will. They want to push him. I don't know about Lesnar, but
I could really see him winning the WWE title.
I think it's going to be Riddle and Lesnar.
I want it to be Riddle and Lesnar, but I don't know how soon they're going to move Riddle or Lee off of NXT because they're so good.
I hear
the show.
What you're saying. But, I can see. I'm saying, check this out. I think it's going to be the rock star that just came back. What does WWE stand for? Walk with Elias. Elias is back, and he has been doing nothing but get better.
No, that's right.
He's going to be your breakout star in 2020.
We talk about Matt Riddle possibly facing Brock Lesnar.
It's going to be Riddle Goldberg.
No, I know. That's what I was just going to say. I bet we're getting Riddle Goldberg at some point this year.
Yeah. I'm banking on Mania.
This Mania?
I'm banking this Mania.
They would have to pull the trigger on that pretty late.
At the Rumble.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe.
You put Goldberg in the Rumble. You have Riddle eliminate him from the Rumble. Boom.
That's a match. I'd watch the shit out of that.
You'd watch a contract signing of that. Like, I sure a month would. And a half.
No, Matt advance, Riddle. Like. They in, so
and you put Goldberg on NXT just to sign a contract?
Goldberg on NXT is ratings.
Bam.
They're beating Goldberg on NXT.
You could have Goldberg run over any one of those jobbers. Like he doesn't even need to wrestle.
He would spear Adam Cole, and he would literally break in half.
No, Adam.
He would be
an Adam Hole, is what he would be.
God damn it. We're fantasy booking right now, but for the sake of it, if they were to do just that, if they were to put Goldberg on NXT to feud with Matt Riddle, which I think would be a great opportunity for Matt Riddle, I think it would be a great way to boost NXT in the ratings.
Same.
But I could very easily see Goldberg spearing Matt Riddle. I'm sorry, Adam Cole, and Adam Cole just selling it like a nuclear bomb.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just because of the way he sells Keith Lee's moves, I can just see Riddle just flying through the middle rope out. Like it would be amazing.
He'd die.
Interesting. I was just bringing up NXT real quick. I read something, and it sounds like it's from the Observer, so take it for what it's worth. But considering NXT has been winning certain weeks with AEW, WWE's original plan was to leave Full Sail.
Yeah,
they were putting the feelers out to other smaller arenas to get NXT on a tour to kind of get a different look. They're not doing that anymore.
No, it's bad. They've been winning
WWE, ratings. WWE, yeah, they haven't been winning every week, but they can win often enough and buy enough. They don't feel like they need to invest any further money in new venues for NXT.
They really don't.
The product is good. I think the wrestlers are happy because they don't have to do all the travel.
No, it's better.
It's good developmental because you have the performance center right there.
You don't. Yeah, it's better. You have guys who can come up easily. You don't have talent on the road. It's cheaper for the young guys that probably aren't making as much money as
they're definitely not.
Like I think a lot of them got pay raises, but still, like, I think there's no way they're making as much money.
Yeah, but if you're a brand new NXT guy, you're not making what Adam Cole's making.
No, exactly. And you want those guys on the road? They're not going
to
have the money.
Certain those guys are making main roster money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but because they had to get them there somehow. I heard on what's his face's After the Bell podcast. Neck tattoo.
Corey Graves.
Most successful man with neck tattoo. I want to tell him that, but he wouldn't find it to be a compliment.
They had Triple H and Shawn Michaels, and they were talking. Corey Graves asked Triple H about what Tommaso Ciampa had said about if you know he may retire if he gets sent up to the main roster. And Triple H, kind of what I had said before, he's like, no. He goes, he's right. Like he's gonna get more mileage out of his career staying where he's at. You know, he's gotta think about his body. He's gonna go where we tell him to go. There was none of that.
I've heard that WWE is very high on Ciampa, and that when he hangs it up, they want him to be backstage producer.
Yep.
That's exactly what
Triple H said. They heard said on the he's internet. Already doing that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been in WWE a terribly long time. But he's had a long career.
Yeah, he's been in the indies for a very long time.
Yeah, and the whole thing is that his one flaw is even before he came to WWE, he's had a bad injury record. He gets hurt a lot, and he comes back strong and quickly.
He comes back from that horrible neck injury.
Yeah.
Does that drop off the top of the cage?
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
He's come back like a superhuman, but he has had a lot of injuries. So you don't have to wonder what kind of shelf life he has. Is it 10 years? Is it 5 years? Is it 3 years?
I'm happy WWE's invested in him for the long run here.
But it sounds like he's a company guy and someone who is a veteran. They can have a spot for that. Like
him. He's a locker room leader, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sure that NXT
he probably locker room is the NXT. He probably is the NXT locker room leader. If it's not him, it's Balor. It's probably one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Well, Balor just got there, you know what I mean? So I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they look up to both of those guys.
Obviously,
you know
has a bit of a legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. One more
question. Who has been the biggest disappointment of 2019 for you guys?
Oh man.
Let me see.
I'm gonna say Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan shit the bed at every opportunity.
We don't need to talk anymore about Lars Sullivan.
Why? I heard that he's trending on the internet a little bit.
No, they were really trying to push him like a monster. I mean, and I really want to like put aside like what a garbage person he seems to be.
Right.
From an in-ring talent. Oh, yeah. He had a distinct like monster vibe to him.
He could have been the next Brock Lesnar.
He was quick.
Yep.
He was strong. Mm-hmm. He had an interesting look.
Mm-hmm.
He was the kind of person Vince McMahon would really get behind. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was safe enough. Like he wasn't hurting people. He had all the tools, and just between injuries, saying stupid shit, doing porn.
there's nothing wrong with doing porn.
There's not anything wrong with
you get a lot of porn. Stroke. You know what I'm saying?
There is nothing wrong with doing porn. I pride myself as someone who occasionally pays for it because those are good people who deserve some money.
That's right.
But
Chad's working hard over here for you guys.
Shut up. Vince McMahon is famous for kind of not always responding really well to that. Like do you remember NXT season 3 with the women?
No, I do not. Was that still a game show?
Yeah, it was still a game show. It was, AJ Lee was on it. Naomi was on it. Kate was when Caitlyn won.
Okay.
Caitlyn actually wasn't supposed to be on that.
Oh, really?
They had Vicky Guerrero was supposed to have a rookie she was like 7 foot. She was huge.
Mm.
And it came out she had done like Amazon porn. Like she was doing it, and Vince McMahon was like, "No, we're trying to change our tone as a company. Yep. We don't want you." And as time is going on, you would see a lot of female talent that would come in with porn backgrounds of some kind.
Oh, baby.
You know, the list goes on and on. But
it does. Come see my act sometime.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll list them off for you guys.
I bet you will. But we haven't really seen that. And as time has gone on, and I just, it's one of those things where he's got all the tools, and he's really, his past has gotten in his own way, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
His words have gotten in his own way, and as they should, and injuries have gotten in his way. And it just, I felt like he was poised to have a great 2019, and he's spent it getting fined and on the shelf and deleting Twitter.
Yeah. Here's a hot take.
Yeah.
Most disappointing person in 2019 for me, The Undertaker. The Undertaker has not been putting on good matches. I don't like seeing him. I was a huge Undertaker fan for a very long time.
We knew that at some point.
I don't care. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like it. It's very disappointing.
Is there anything The Undertaker could do in the business right now besides retire that you would see as not disappointing?
I don't mind The Undertaker talking. I don't mind him cutting promos. Managing would be fine.
Would you want to see The Undertaker managing?
I don't. To have The Undertaker be somebody's mouthpiece instantly puts them over.
The next time I want to see...
You get the rub because you got the fucking phenom behind you.
The next time I want to see The Undertaker on TV is when The Fiend takes him down with a man.
I would like to see The Fiend take The Undertaker down and put The Undertaker on his wall.
I
think that would be a fitting retirement.
The Fiend is the new Undertaker.
Would you be willing to see one more Undertaker match that is Undertaker Bray Wyatt? Bray Wyatt wants revenge for losing at WrestleMania all those years ago, and it's The Fiend versus The Undertaker, and The Fiend destroys The Undertaker.
Yes.
And The Undertaker is done by putting over The Fiend. That's how he goes out. Would you be willing to see The Undertaker in one more match for that? I know you feel about The Undertaker wrestling.
The Undertaker should have been done when Roman beat him at WrestleMania and he put his hats and his boot and his coat in the ring.
I think that's the consensus of the whole podcast.
I think that's the consensus of most of the wrestling.
That was community, a honestly, beautiful yeah. swan song, oh, yeah. and it should have ended like that.
Yeah.
If I have to book The Undertaker in a match, I would like it to go out like that.
Give the choice between no Undertaker match and that being his last match,
yeah.
you would still take no match.
No match.
Okay.
Yep.
That's kind of what I was wondering.
He is hurting his legacy, and here's the thing. If he does that, yeah. and he botches all that shit, yeah. like, it's...
My guess...
On the grandest stage of them all...
My guess would be that The Fiend versus The Undertaker would not be a Undertaker getting a shit-in match. It would be a... Undertaker's going to throw some punches and be taken apart.
Yeah,
I don't think they're. I don't think.
But I don't want to
see. I don't think that match would look bad because it would just be The Undertaker selling. I don't think he's gonna do anything that he wouldn't be able to do.
I don't want to. I don't want to see.
I hear that. I think it would be good, but I also hear the argument like, that.
Send your hate mail to @TrebuchetLOL. I'll take all the heat for this. The Undertaker is the most disappointing person.
I don't think it's a hot take.
I bet you the internet disagrees with you.
Yes, I have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I had really high hopes for Aleister Black. Like, I mean, obviously,
he's come on in the last couple months. That's a good one.
I thought they were going to do more with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a slow burn with him, but he did not have an amazing 2019 for coming up.
Right.
I think he had an injury somewhere.
Nope. EC3.
That's a really good
one. Oh, yeah, he's really good in NXT.
He's really good in TNA. Nobody was doing good work in TNA.
And then they brought him to the main roster and nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, I would say that, and I don't know whether to call that EC3 underperforming or the company just not booking him.
It's bad booking.
But, I mean, we don't always know. He could have issues that we're not aware of.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason... Yeah, I would say EC3 is it probably, if they let him go today or next year and things don't change.
He'd be an AEW wet dream.
Well, sure he would. Yeah. Sure he would. But also, he will go down as one of the, he will go down as the Texas Tornado.
He's an underachiever.
He was a guy that should have been doing amazing things, and because of.
That's Kerry Von Erich keeping score
at home. Yeah. Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah.
Again, the
WWE Universe doesn't.
Yeah. No, he's an amazing wrestler, and when he came to the WWF, it just didn't work out. He hated it.
They changed his name.
He was missing a foot at the time.
Yeah, I know. which he was trying to hide, which was very odd.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was very odd. But he, it was one of those where he had all the positioning to do well and all the talent, but because of factors either in booking or with himself, just disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much the whole Von Erich family, you know. It's very tragic.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing.
But I bet there's EC3.
Oh, baby. Ooh, that's another gear entirely.
Yeah. But
honorable mention top five for me, Liv Morgan's comeback. I'm very excited about that. That could be my breakout 2020 star.
Something back.
Stop doing my jokes. My breakout star 2019, though, Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy put himself on the map.
We're talking about people who broke out.
Came out of obscurity. Main event.
Buddy Murphy is a great pick for breakout star 2019.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's had it, but maybe Mustafa Ali. Maybe the only
other guy. That's another good pick. Who would you say?
Man, I'm gonna need to think on that one.
Yeah,
I would have to agree with you on Buddy Murphy. I think that Buddy Murphy went from tag team wrestler NXT to having a good cruiserweight title run, but at the time, like 205 Live, no one was watching that. Like he was doing great stuff and no one cared.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff with Roman, that he wasn't even supposed to be a part of.
No,
he was in the right place at the wrong place at the right time.
Yeah,
and it got him a couple of matches where he got to show. Buddy Murphy has one of the coolest movesets.
Oh, he's very good.
Buddy Murphy is the creator wrestler. You're just like, that move looks cool. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason why he's doing any of this shit, but it all looks cool and it all makes it work. I think he very well, when Aleister Black came to Raw, I was like, Aleister Black's going to be super over. Uh-huh. My whole thing was, I didn't expect Buddy Murphy to be an integral part of it. And at this point, I'm going to say that Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy are going to probably, they've had their feud already. My guess is they're probably going to collide more.
Like, those guys are linked to each other. They have good chemistry together, and they put on good matches.
As the years go on, My guess is you will see them in like a Miz Daniel Bryan, where they keep fighting each other, we're gonna have titles that they're both going for at the same time.
Here's my thing: Aleister Black was my biggest disappointment from last year. I think he's going to be the breakout star this year.
I think he had a lot slower
of a rise this year than I thought he was going to have.
He's got a really cool entrance.
He's got
really cool music, and he. His character is interesting. People want to see it.
He has,
but like, he had injuries.
Kind of like an anti-hero thing. He had an injury, and I think that
for a while there, the Raw booking was didn't really have a spot for him. And rather than having him just do throwaway stuff, they gave him 30 seconds to try to talk and get himself over. I think that it wasn't the meteoric year that I think Aleister Black we thought we could have. I think 2020 definitely will be, and I think that Buddy Murphy hitched himself on to Aleister Black's rise on the way up. And I very well, if you would have told me 6 months ago that I would think Buddy Murphy will have a world title run, I'd think you were stupid.
That's fair.
Yeah. I think Buddy Murphy very well may be in a world title feud with Aleister Black in the next 5 years.
Just get the Roman Reigns rub. You showed he could go a Roman, and I think he turned some heads. I think he turned Vince's head with that.
I'm absolutely sure he did. He sells well. His moves are good. He put on a good match with Roman, who isn't historically an easy person to have a wrestling classic with.
Right.
And he went from nothing. Literally, it was his first singles match on SmackDown was with Roman Reigns, and it was amazing. Yeah. And it didn't necessarily turn heads immediately, but Paul Heyman said, "I want Buddy Murphy."
Yeah, yes, he
and did. I think Paul Heyman can get Buddy Murphy over.
I do too. It's working for me. I want to see more. I like what they're doing with him.
I also think Sheamus is going to have a good 2020.
I hope so. I love Sheamus. I always have.
I will be surprised to see
him. He's everything I like in a wrestler. He's big, tough, charismatic, looking for a fight.
Yeah. I will be very surprised if he makes it to 2021, but I think 2020, he's going to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
I think this will be his last year in the business, most likely. Or at least his last full year. But I think he's going to do some good stuff.
I hope you are right.
On the way out the door. I guess he's going to do some good stuff, and he will probably put someone over very well.
He probably will.
And give them a good rub.
Sheamus gets the business, as far as I'm concerned. There's no reason that
he will likely end up doing backstage.
I believe that.
He's good friends with Triple H.
Yep.
Well, that's a good person to be friends with.
Triple H is the one who really kind of put him over in the first place.
Yeah.
So he technically kind of sort of ended Triple H's full-time in-ring career.
Sure. So let's just try to run through other people's moments there.
We got Robert Air Force or Bobby One Belt, as he's known in this thread here. His top five moments, he doesn't have them numbered. I'm just going to start from the top.
Yep, just hit us with them.
Iconics winning the tag belts.
Ooh, baby!
I don't know that that's... if I had a top 10 list, I would say I probably would make it. That was a good moment.
Becky Two Belts.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Ciampa versus Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
The premiere of AEW.
Yep, that one's definitely there.
One that we all cringed at, Randy Orton twisting a screwdriver.
Oh, yeah.
That was a...
Jeff Hardy's year.
Year.
He probably meant year.
He meant year.
I would say that... I would say that it's probably not... he hasn't to call it like a huge like story moment, but as far as like a visual...
Moments. Awesome. I asked for moments.
Yeah.
So that's a good moment.
Yep.
And then the next one, we got Daniel Ryan, five best moments. I'll start at the number five, Women's War Games ending. I can't disagree there.
Well, that was a good match. Actually,
that was the one where Cobra Kai turned.
Yeah, it was 2-on-5, basically.
That was a good match. But honestly, I think my favorite part of that was Dakota Kai turning.
Cobra Kai turning was very good.
I really like her.
You really do.
Right now.
Then we got an AEW thing, the promo build between Jericho and Cody before their match at Full Gear.
That was good stuff.
Some good stuff there.
Number three is the first Firefly Funhouse.
Okay.
Sure.
Another one that I can't disagree with, Gargano finally winning the NXT title.
That was a big moment. That was a big moment.
That was before I started watching NXT,
a great match. It was,
that was the Adam Cole match.
The two out of three falls.
Yeah.
Yep. And then number one was Kofi getting the big one.
Yeah, Kofi Mania, baby.
Yep. And then...
who's next?
A-plot.
My co-champion.
Nacho King here. His... He's got for this year, number five is Moxley's debut in AEW.
Okay. Yeah, that was a big moment for them.
Number four, Tyler Bate versus Walter at NXT UK Cardiff. Another fantastic match.
I bet you that was good.
That was a very good match.
Yep.
Walter is amazing. We talk about potential breakout scratch for 2020. Tyler Bate should be on that list.
Yep.
Walter would be a breakout star, I think.
I honestly think Walter's got a little bit yet before he
you think so?
He breaks out. I don't know, man.
Like I said, I see JBL when I see Walter. I'm like, man, I really like
Walter. I think Tyler Bate is whenever they decide to do whatever they're doing with him. I think he's just got a ton of talent. He's also just got a distinct likableness that I think reminds me of when Balor first came up. He's cute. Like I think girls are gonna
Chad likes him.
I think that Tyler Bate will be the next like pretty boy girls are gonna swoon over him babyface.
Fair.
Okay, not to break into the middle of this, but another guy that should at the very least, get honorable mention for possible breakout star of this next year.
Sure.
Bruiserweight Pete Dunne.
Yes.
Okay, I'm like, that's who you better be talking about. Love me some Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne's going to have a good 2020.
I love me some Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne's going to have a good 2020. Also, Damian Priest is going to have a good 2020.
Oh, yes. Yep.
I'm not as convinced about Damian Priest as you are.
I've gone in on Damian Priest.
It's gonna be Orange Cassidy's year, guys.
He's got man.
Hopefully, it's his year because we dedicated to him when he dies in
2020. Sorry, A-plot, sorry
though. Oh, that got real sad.
I stand by it.
Damn, all right. That's that Showtime show.
Yeah, go ahead.
A-plot's number three is the Undisputed Era draped in gold. Loved it.
Really did. I'm like, I knew you would like that. I
like them with all the gold as well.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Number two, Kofi Mania. Mm-hmm. Again. Number one, Cody versus Dustin in AEW.
I heard that was good. I never actually saw that.
I saw some highlights of it.
It was a fine enough match. I think that putting that number one is probably wrong. But
do we want to do his decade right now?
Let's probably save that.
Let's see. And then...
Do we get Chris Goads?
Cody. Chris Goads.
Yes. If you have hate mail, send it to at Goad.
Yes.
He'll be sure to report it to us.
His number five is the Firefly Funhouses.
Okay.
Number four is Jericho. I've got a ticket promo with Cody.
That was very good. That was probably my favorite AEW moment thus far.
That was a really good one. I still think probably the Lexi Carla Champion I probably enjoyed just a little better.
That's fair. That's your opinion, man.
Number three, Kofi Mania.
Uh-huh.
And number two, announcement and start of AEW.
Okay.
And number one, Becky leading up to Mania and becoming two belts.
Becky two belts. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. Well, like I said, a lot of constants in there from everybody.
Daniel.
We did him already.
Okay.
We got everybody. Okay. So, yeah. All right. Are we ready to bounce into the top five moments of this past 10 years, which is a decade? Let's do it. I'll start with mine. Coming in at number five is the match between Cesaro and Sami Zayn. 2 out of 3 falls. August 21st, 2013. My favorite match of the last 10 years. I've watched it more than any match this decade.
Yep.
I stand by it. You can listen to me, Showtime, and Nate Dogg doing a alternate commentary on it. Mm-hmm. If you want to link those up, go through the archives of the Industry Podcast of the World. It's very good. We do a very good job on this match. So click on that.
Cesaro's very underrated.
Cesaro versus Sami Zayn. NXT in 2013 was amazing.
Is that your favorite match of the decade?
Favorite match of the decade.
Okay.
That's the only match I have on there.
No, that's what I was wondering. I wonder if you have any other matches. No, that's your favorite.
My favorite
match.
I put a lot of thought into it.
That's just match?
Well, it's...
He's doing...
The only match that made my moments list.
Okay.
Right. That match as a whole is what I'm talking
about. That's a very good match, but yeah, I've heard you rave about that
match. It's my kind of style. There's not foreign objects. It's just we're doing moves. Everything makes sense. Both guys sell. Mm-hmm. It's up and down. You don't know where it's going next. And it Cesaro is a fucking superhuman in this match. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you don't see Sami Zayn do this.
The fact we don't have Cesaro on NXT is a crime. Yeah. Cesaro, they're not going to give Cesaro the world title. They're probably not even going to give him a mid-card title again. He could be doing the most good on NXT right now.
I believe that.
You have him.
Cesaro, like a, Keith Lee would be have fucking him do like amazing. A
2-year championship reign with the NXT.
I would love to see like, Cesaro with the NXT I mean, title. I would love to see that.
It's too late.
Yeah,
too
I, don't,
late.
I
think having a veteran come down and winning the title and having making the NXT guys try sure. to yeah.
I climb Finn Balor.
I just I feel right like now. Sticking him with Sami Zayn is fine. I don't hate it, but I feel like that he if what you're gonna do with him is this. He could be doing more good on NXT.
Yes, yes, he has the potential to be.
That's another guy who hasn't had it. He's had a actually pretty long career in WWE, but he's had an even longer career on the Indies. He's yeah. professional. You're not gonna have problems with him. He understands the business.
Yeah, it's just as a fan, it's just disappointing to see him never go anywhere. To just he's yeah, just spinning his wheels he where
will
he is.
Be, he will be the Mr. Perfect. I think he will look yeah. at him and go, he's the best guy of our generation to never win the belt.
Yeah, yep. he's Roddy Piper. Yeah, essentially what he is. Yep. All right. Number four was AEW, because we're going to look back at this decade. That's going to stand out. Be like, all right, we had a wrestling company go head-to-head with WWE. Covered that a lot.
Do you think AEW will be around by 2030?
I hope so. I do, because they have the money to back it, and I feel like they truly believe in that product.
Yep.
Growing pains I mean, right now.
I will say this. WCW had the money to back it.
Yeah.
Time Warner had money.
No, that's fair. No, but when they sold it to AOL, AOL didn't want anything to do with it.
Sure, but AOL, my only point with that is saying that there was not a lack of funds to keep WCW alive. It was a lack of it being worth it. It's not about
the
money. It's
the passion. Right. The passion yeah. behind it. There's enough people working on it that want to make it
sure
get over that. Fair I enough. Think it's going to get over.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. We got a lot of work to do.
Yep. I just wondered if you thought it would go 10 years.
I do. I really do, because it's...
I hope it does.
I was surprised Impact lasted this long. I thought Impact would have folded
by now. I have no idea how Impact is
staying. They're staying in Canada. They're in Canada.
You think that like that's just,
they moved.
I know they're in Canada. They feel like they have to be hemorrhaging money. They can't be making money.
Who's buying their yeah. products?
No, like, and it's like it's the Carters aren't involved. Like the Carters are billionaires, but they're not involved anymore.
Nope.
Like who's flipping the bill for this?
I have no idea. We should do some investigative reporting.
We've got to do another investigative report on who owns Impact Wrestling.
Yep. We'll get going on the case. All right. Number three, top 10 moments of this decade, the launching of the WWE Network.
It's a great one.
Wrestling.
Oh, that systematically yeah. changed the game.
Wrestling has never been the same for me. When that launched, I had more wrestling to consume than I had time to watch it, which was not a thing in my life that I had before.
No,
that.
I mean, here's something you know me.
Yeah.
I don't work a day job.
No.
I do comedy,
mm-hmm.
and I have things I do sometimes at night, a couple times a week. Yep. But I have time.
Yeah.
I cannot even put a dent in that.
No, no. I fall asleep to that thing. Yeah. Like, yeah. I love that
thing. I'm just going through it and finding shit that's been on there for 5 years. Like, God, this is good.
Yeah, you just started watching Legends of Wrestling, yeah, which I've been raving about for years. I've
seen a few episodes with you, but like, I finally was like, because I love those like discussion shows. I love listening to those podcasts.
They're all sitting around. It's like Michael Hayes, just, JR, and yeah. like, they're Bishop they're all just, on it. They're drinking and smoking stuff.
Yeah, they're always a bunch of salty old veterans telling inside stories. Stories, and I was like, I really love Cornette's podcast with that. I love Pritchard's and you know, JR. I was just like, I bet this is similar. And sure enough,
it's like a podcast before they did podcast. But you get like Dusty Rhodes and Michael Hayes and all those old time.
I do get a little sad watching it, so I'm just looking at
Flair looks in better shape.
The whole thing with Dusty is like, he looked good. Like,
he did. He looked healthy.
He was still the fat man.
He was the American
dream. He was still the fat man. Yeah. And then those last couple years in NXT, he looked so sickly. Sick.
Yeah. Just thin.
It struck me first episode. So I was like, this is the Dusty I remember.
That's my Dusty.
When I started watching wrestling
the way I remember
early to mid-2000s.
Jolly. Just a jolly guy.
And Dusty Rhodes would pop up. I was like, oh, he still looks... He's old, but it's still Dusty Rhodes. It's still that same guy that I'm seeing in these old clips. And then I saw him in the last few years. I was like, oh, he doesn't look good. Yeah. Like, he looks like Ric Flair looked a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Flair's actually been
Flair looks better. Flair looks good now. There were a couple of years where I was like, I hope he makes it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to throw the network on here because that changed
the game. I mean, well, here's the thing. How many pay-per-views did you buy before the network?
Maybe one or two a year.
That was me too.
Because they were really expensive.
One or two a year at best, because they were $60 a pop. Yeah. I never bought a
pay-per-view.
I like wrestling a lot.
I had a very hard time justifying it. Yeah. But $10 a month? I can justify that all day, especially with all the extras
that come with it. Oh my God, you get every pay-per-view ever from ECW, WCW, WWE. There's Mid-South stuff on there. There's documentaries on products companies that I never knew about.
They're talking about adding a tier that's $5 more that they're going to stream in the way the Fight Network works, where they stream...
Like Evolve and stuff like that.
Yeah, they stream independent shows. WWE's thinking about adding a tier that, like, not only do you get WWE stuff and, like, all the things WWE owns, they're going to stream events for independent companies that WWE's friendly with.
Yeah, no, it's like I tell my friends, everybody's all like, have you seen this television show? Have you seen Letterkenny? Have you seen this other stuff? And I'm like, no. I don't watch TV anymore. I watch pro wrestling in my off time because I'm a nerd. And that's what I like to do. I like it better than
television. There's still more than you can digest.
Yeah, right? No, because they make original programming on there with wrestlers in it, and I like that better than actors.
They're sitting at dinner. Talking, and I love it.
I love it. Well, no,
the Table for Three is a great show. I know, the one with Bischoff, Cornette, and Michael Hayes.
That sounds amazing.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like it's there's yeah no that's a, the, I the wrestling business has not and will not ever be the same. Are we buying AEW pay-per-views?
We're going to one.
You're gonna go to one.
You were supposed to, but you bailed because you suck. I understand.
Gotta get my grind on. No, you're gonna make it a die trying, but we're not buying AEW pay per views. We're not buying NWA pay per views. We're not buying these other wrestling pay per views that exist because we're so used to not having to.
Exactly.
Not only did WWE go, we are going to make $10 a month because the same way we did, people were willing to pay $10 a month that we're not willing to pay $60.
Yeah.
And so they're making money they would not have otherwise made.
Yep. They get my money every month.
So here's the thing.
Yep.
Think about it like this.
If you bought, I happily give them $9.99.
If you bought one pay-per-view a year, you spent $60.
Yeah.
And that was probably more than most people did.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you buy the network for an entire year, you're spending $120 that you feel good about, and that's at least $60 more than they would have made. Probably $120 per household more than they would have been making.
It was probably a lot of money to front the infrastructure for this. But once they've been
working on it forever.
But once the infrastructure is in place, you're just maintenance.
But as I'm talking about this, I realize that not only did they do that, they have ruined the idea of paying for a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yep.
Most people who could stomach that before now go, I'm paying $60 for one event. I pay $10 a month for every event.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do it.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if they intended it like that, but it was a great
undercutting
of every... Because at the time, there really weren't companies. TNA was running papers, but no one was buying them. But like,
but they were coming in brown bags.
Yeah,
for like, $4.99.
But live, no one was buying papers. But I wonder if Vince had that force to be like, if we do this, if a company presents itself that wants to run pay-per-views... People won't buy them.
Yeah.
Because they're the idea of paying per month to watch wrestling more than $10 for a subscription isn't something people will do.
Right. Nope. So, yeah, this very big moment this last decade. Yeah. Number two, the streak ending at WrestleMania 30,
ooh,
which was one of the first events on the network.
It was the first event.
Yeah, like, I was just like, holy shit. Like, that dropped my jaw.
Yeah,
it's like,
were you an hour for that one?
Yeah, I remember where I was, what I was doing that exact moment.
Me too.
I'm like, I have not been that shocked since.
I remember.
I don't think I'll ever be that shocked again.
I remember how I had my apartment set up.
Yeah, no. Like,
I remember
what I was eating.
Yeah,
like everything about that moment.
I remember I was inviting some buddies over, and they're like, I don't really, you know, it's not that big a deal. I remember texting, being like, The Undertaker just lost.
I missed
this.
I was in Roy's basement. It was kind of a precursor to our wrestling parties. Like, yeah. They weren't at the caliber they are now.
Right.
But it was like me, Roy, my sister, and Cody Goats were all there
yeah.
watching this, eating it up. And I was just like, I was in shock. I was like, what did I just see? what did I just see? Like, mm-hmm. I kept repeating it because I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me see the replay of that. That's not right. I'm hearing Brock Lesnar's music. That's not right. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And then number one, CM Punk's pipe bomb.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best mic thing that happened this last decade. I bought two CM Punk t-shirts after that. I've been a CM Punk fan ever since. Just,
dear baby Jesus, can we have CM Punk back?
There's rumors that he may come back. There's rumors please, Edge may come back.
The evidence behind the Edge thing is his contract that he signed has a huge upside.
Yep.
That there's no reason he would ever get to unless he was going to do in-ring stuff.
Yep. Supposedly he has been medically cleared.
That's what the rumor is.
So I keep hearing. The Royal Rumble would be a great opportunity.
You give him number 30 and he eliminates two people.
He doesn't have to win. AJ Styles didn't win when he debuted in the Rumble.
You don't need to.
No, you just...
Edge is a bona fide Hall of Famer.
But you have to put him 30.
You do. You absolutely have to put him 30. Yeah.
Have him be like a big match appearance. He doesn't have to be full-time. That's the thing. Like, with Brock Lesnar, I don't necessarily mind him being only on TV once in a while. But take the damn belt off of him. Because that belt...
I think because he has the belt, it makes him more must-see.
There's more mystique to it, I guess. It also
accentuates the Intercontinental Championship, because you see that every week. I understand why they do it. It's good for both.
I don't hate the idea of it. I do feel like we've done it too frequently.
Yeah.
I feel like giving Brock the belt...
It's kind of become the norm.
Yeah. It has, but I think that's actually like a problem.
I'm used to it now. I'm just like, that's what they want to do. I'm okay with that. I know how the system works now.
I feel like I was cool with it.
It makes you want to see it more.
Yeah,
it's definitely not overexposing Brock Lesnar.
You want to see him get beat.
Yeah, you're damn right. It does.
And there's definitely video that I understand. I really think, Brock Lesnar is probably, if you take, not the decade, but if you take a look at the last 5 years, Brock Lesnar's probably spent more time with a belt than just about anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would put a stop to that soon. I like
the Brock stuff. I have no complaints with that at all.
I like Brock, and I like Brock with the belt, but I do think we've gone to the point where Brock has had the belt and off TV so much that it's starting to lose that for me. I want to see Brock lose the belt. I'm just like, Brock's got the belt. We're not going to see it. I'm accepting fate.
That's where
we've kind of turned.
But that's why when he does show up to Raw or SmackDown, you're like, I got to see it.
If they need to give
the ratings a shot in the arm, you bring the champion back. That's the way they should do it. They should treat it prestigious, and he doesn't have to defend it all the time.
I disagree that long-term not having the champion on TV is a good thing. And I think we've crossed over from Brock being...
I don't think it's been too long. Long-term, I understand your point.
I think that in the time that Brock has been back, the whole time on a short-term schedule, and has been in the world title picture pretty much the entire time, I would say that at first I was like, oh, the champ's not on TV, that's bad. And then I was like, hey, I get why they're doing it, and I like it.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to go, I understand why they're doing it. I understand why, like, these are the aspects of business sense. But I'm really starting to feel like we're getting too used to the idea to where it's not having the effect we want it to. We're past diminishing returns on it.
I don't think so. I know, in the land of overexposure, I don't need to see my champion every week. We have it every week. You do what happened to Roman Reigns. You can't have it every week.
It doesn't have to happen like Roman Reigns. And I feel like if we gave Brock Lesnar...
My question is, do you want the belt on every week? Is that your main argument here?
Want the belt on every week for a while. We've spent so much of the past few years with the belt not on TV every week that I would like it back on TV for a while before we go back to giving it. I don't think giving it to a part-timer is bad inherently.
I don't.
I think it's spent too much time with a part-timer at this point.
If you put that belt back on TV every week,
yeah,
you're gonna diminish the women's division. It's not gonna get the time it has. You're gonna diminish your mid card too.
I mean, the mid card's already fairly diminished,
but then your tag division's gonna be even worse than it is. Like,
Raw is
3 hours.
Don't have it defended or even be in a match every week. Just have a promo. Have them come out and cut like a 7 minute promo.
You want Brock to cut a 7 minute promo?
Paul Heyman to cut
a Okay, I was gonna promo. Say, I'm like, Brock ain't gonna do that. For do you Brock. Know who you're talking about?
I feel like if we took a year and had the champ on TV, and then we'd give it back to Brock or another part timer for a few months, so like, oh, the belt's not here. I feel like that would get heat. I feel like Brock isn't getting heat for being a part timer because we've just accepted it.
Yeah, and no, I think, no. Everybody I that think goes against moves. Brock is like, oh, he's a part timer, but then he wins again. Like,
yeah,
it's the same spiel sure. over and over again.
I'm getting a little tired of it. I feel like it's not. It doesn't get heat. I feel like it doesn't get the heat it did. I feel like it doesn't feel cool anymore. I feel like we need to either give it some time before we do it again by giving it out to a part timer, or do something at least a little different with it, because it's become mundane to have Brock Lesnar as a champion.
I just think that it's helped the other divisions him not being there.
There's probably something said for that. I
really do. It legitimized the women's title.
I think
you were able to put them in the main event more frequently because the champ wasn't there.
So
I mean,
that was your world title match.
If you bring it on the women's or the women's division is the main event of Raw,
yeah,
more frequently without the WWE title, I would say it's correct. But I also don't know that the women's division would be that much worse off if it were in a big match on Raw that wasn't the main event. As long as you present that,
I think the main event is more important.
I think if you present
personally,
that, no, sure, personally, I think you care about stuff like that. I think the average fan, as long as the match is presented well, it doesn't matter that much where it is on the card.
It
as
used
long
to, as the rest of the it show used plays to around. More so in the past. I understand.
That's right.
But back to my point, the CM Punk pipe bomb. It was nobody's got a promo like that since.
No.
Like, and I don't think that'll ever be created again. It launched CM Punk into his long world title run, and like, it kind of blurred the lines between like the business sense and reality, because CM Punk ended up winning the title not under contract. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that he put the title in the fridge in his hotel room after he won it or whatever.
Did you see someone asked him what his favorite promo of the decade was?
What?
Someone asked CM Punk what his favorite promo of the decade was. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Did you know what he said?
What did he say?
He made a joke about his, and then he said it wasn't his. It was the pipe bomb shell promo that AJ cut.
Oh, really?
Like a year later.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember that one?
No, I'd have to go back.
She came out and cut a promo on, because all the Total Divas girls were in a match.
Oh, AJ Lee. I thought you said AJ Styles. I was like, why would AJ be talking about that? I don't remember that at all.
No, AJ Lee came out when she had the Divas title and basically ran the women down.
I remember that.
And it was very good.
She was very good. I would like to have her back.
Now that CM Punk is not, I wouldn't say good graces, but I think he's on speaking terms of WWE, and there's, you know, talks of him coming back, maybe. I think if the door is open for her to return and she wants any part of it, I think the women's division, I think she was doing good work when the women's division was bad. I think she'll do great work on the division.
Agreed.
She doesn't even have to wrestle. She can come in and be
she
like a
is
commissioner
so good.
She was good at everything.
Everything she did was
she
fucking
was a,
amazing.
She was a lifetime fan.
Yes.
And you could tell.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She cared about the business.
Yep.
She played crazy, just right.
She did everything she did was just perfect.
Yeah. That Vicky Guerrero stuff was good.
Look at me.
Everything she did was perfect.
I understand. All right. But that is Trebuchet's champion.
Then, of course,
top five.
13 minutes ago, we get a notification from WWE Network. 2019's best matches. Relive the year's greatest in-ring moments in WWE's top 10 matches of 2019. Streaming now on WWE Network.
Well, we're just ahead of the
curve.
They know. Yeah, they're listening. Vince McMahon is tapped my house. I'm sure. And hi, Vince. Yeah, hey, Cole Cabana.
Mo, what are my...
Come on, we're talking about
it. Yeah, no, that's a good line. I'm there for
top five moments of the decade.
Yeah.
The one, I was thinking about that today. I'm gonna give numbers, but you could really
sure.
Yeah.
I'm the same way when I give mine. Like the numbers don't matter.
they're
just top moments because the decade's so expanded to really
right.
rank them.
First one,
sure.
I'm gonna mention is the Hardy Boys showing up at WrestleMania.
That was very good.
There had been rumors about it.
But
they were on
They sold that so good. They're like, yeah, we got one more tag team. Then all of a sudden,
they were on Ring of Honor. A Ring of Honor show that I'm
for. Yep. They were literally at the airport getting like.
They're collecting gold. They're busy collecting gold.
Yeah.
And then were they losing?
They snuck them into the arena. Yeah. Like there's a whole WWE like documentary on it, on the network.
It was amazing.
I haven't seen it. It would be very. But I had heard that. Vince McMahon actually made a phone call to the Young Bucks because they were the ones that they wrestled in Ring of Honor that night. And I don't know what the conversation necessarily pertained to, but it's apparently got somebody said like, hey, we have this thing planned for tomorrow. You have a ladder match with these guys and we're allowing them to do it. You want a future in this business, which likely means you want a future with us at some point. What you do in this match and how you treat them and their safety may very well depend on if you ever do business with us. It was you can get some brownie points with us by not spoiling the return, not referencing it, because the Young Bucks are well known to break the fourth wall.
And
don't reference it.
The internet will blow up if you say anything.
Don't spoil it. Don't reference it and don't hurt them. You do that, you've got some good points in with us.
Right.
If you fuck it up, we will probably never touch you.
And bury you.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. And that was, I think Vince was like, hey, you kind of have an opportunity here as someone that isn't signed, that probably isn't going to be signed for a long time, to get some favor with us, or you have the opportunity to get yourself blacklisted.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
My next one.
Yeah.
Sting showing up in a WWE ring.
I wanted that to be better than
that
it was.
That was so, honestly. But
still, for...
I understand.
If I had been years old, so I watched Sting from, you know, Surfer Sting.
I understand. I'm about the same age as you, man. So, like, I love me some Sting. I painted my face like him. I used to wear Sting shirts to grade school and stuff like that. Big Sting fan. I like that he's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yep.
There's a very interesting WWE documentary about Sting getting that concussion against Seth and everything, mm-hmm. Because I guess Seth had a bunch of heat for hurting him and stuff. Right. And then Sting's like, I put myself in there. It's like, it's what happens. It's fighting.
Seth had a rough run there for a while.
Yeah, he was getting the business. Thing. Sting defended him though.
Bret Hart was dogging Seth out real bad.
Yeah,
Finn Balor when he in that Universal Title match when Finn won, but
had to
give it up.
Yep.
I would say that if we were to ask the question, like, biggest disappointment of the decade, Sting's run in WWE would probably be on
that
list.
Probably in there.
I understand why the good parts of it were. I understand why it went the way it went. I would have liked to have seen him do something other than come into WrestleMania and lose in what was essentially a WWE jerking off in the course of WCW one more time.
Right.
Well, then he had that rebound match. He
had the one match on Raw.
Yeah.
Which he won.
Yeah.
And then he had the match with Seth that he got. Not only did he lose, he got hurt during and probably ended his career.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just. It felt like it was snake bit the way like that initial Shield reunion was. Like, it looks really good, but just it didn't fall apart at every pass.
Fair.
Funny part about that Sting match though, I really love when Kevin Nash pretend to blow his quad. he went down and grabbed his knees like my quad. He was selling that he hurt himself.
That's funny.
And then. The next one I would have to say is the debut of the Shield.
Big moment.
Took out Ryback.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I mean, those guys come in and you know, NXT was not as big of a deal.
It absolutely was not.
No. So we didn't really know who they were and who
it wasn't.
Three of those guys.
It wasn't available anywhere. You couldn't really watch. Those guys came up in Florida Championship Wrestling. It wasn't even NXT initially.
Roman was in NXT a little bit. Dean maybe had a match.
Seth was their first champion. But Florida Championship Wrestling was only available in the local Florida markets.
Right.
And then when they changed the name to NXT, it still wasn't really wildly available anywhere. Right.
I think it was on the internet. I think it was on like Hulu or something.
It was on...
It was in the UK too.
Here's the thing: they had Hulu cuts, and then they had it was on in Canada and the UK. Sky Sports had it.
Yeah.
But United States Television didn't have it, which was kind of odd.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's a good pick because if you look back...
Those guys are all world champions.
Those three guys are integral in the business. Like they all won the world title. They're all Grand Slam champions. Mm-hmm. And Dean jumped ship to another company... He's their top star. He's not their champion, yeah. But I would argue he's their number one baby face right now.
Yep.
I would make the argument he's more over than Cody is right now.
I would say so.
Yeah. Roman is the next Cena.
He was my number one in the last list.
Roman Reigns is the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
You know, beat cancer. Seth Rollins, I was gonna say he maybe has the worst. It was the worst of three, but Dean probably had the worst WWE run of the three.
Dean had, but like Dean, if you look at it on paper,
still is potential WWE Hall.
Oh, sure, they're all potential first ballots.
Right. They'll go in as the Shield, individually too, probably because of that whole thing.
But Roman,
sidebar though, I don't like the Hall of Fame inducting fucking stables. That's a whole other thing.
No, I'm pretty
going in with. And DX and
like, oh, they want to put China in. Well, just put fucking China in then.
I really feel like they're taking the luster off of that Hall of Fame.
I really love that, and it's getting cheaper.
It's the way they are whoring a bit.
Yep.
So that's all. I watched JR the King and Dusty Rhodes
What they're finding is they're running out of big names.
Yeah, I know.
They're re-inducting people to get big name speeches.
Yeah, I know. It's just
which I honestly feel like the fans.
I'm there for the speeches.
The fans that care about the Hall of Fame. If you put, I don't know, who's it? If you were to put Mark Henry as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Wrestling fans would have been fine with it. They're worried about the casual fans.
Yeah,
caring.
They want the big names in there.
Yeah, they're worried about
your Rocks, your Triple H's, your Shawn Michaels.
They keep wanting to induct Hogan different ways because they know that all sorts of fans care about
that.
They
know who Hulk Hogan is. Yeah. Hogan has crossover appeal.
Where if you induct...
You put Ric Flair in there again, people know who Ric Flair is.
If you induct someone that's an upper mid-carder but a lifelonger who deserves it, Wrestling fans will eat it up, but casual fans, like, who cares?
Yeah.
And I think that's their
Like you put Chavo Guerrero Jr. in there, I'm going to love it.
Yeah, he deserves it. Like, he deserves it, but is...
Workhorse, worked for WCW, worked for WWE, but did good work the whole time. Deserving in my eyes, but
if
the casual fan has no idea.
If Chavo goes in, he will be an afterthought guy because the casual fans will go, oh, Chavo Guerrero, is that Eddie's brother? Like,
former tag team champion.
Yeah, they won't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I know his history and stuff, but I'm a lifelong fan. We all know me.
Right.
Well, question. When they end up Chavo, I'm sure he'll go in at some point.
Chavo will go in. Sure. You know, we'll get an Eddie speech, dude.
Will they mention Kerwin White?
They shouldn't. No. They fucking shouldn't.
I wonder if they'll do it.
He
might reference about being a golfer. Like that. He'll make it a side to this. But there's
for,
no
for
way.
For the smart mark, though.
Yeah, they're like, you remember.
Yeah. that's funny.
Dolph Ziggler was his caddy.
Oh, yeah. Right. My next one, and this might not be make anybody else's list, but it was just a cool moment for me to see Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, and The Rock open up that WrestleMania.
That was a huge WrestleMania moment.
When they were in the Silver Dome. Brother. Yep. No, it was even though Hogan boxed that.
Yeah.
It shows how good they are that both Rock and Stone Cold joked about it right then.
Oh, yeah, they both just cracked up about it. Like
the guys nowadays would never do that. No. They would ignore
shit, we gotta sell
that. That's why guys like me and you think the Attitude Era was better because you had to have that improv that this fucked up. Everybody saw it. Let's talk about
The Attitude Era wasn't better because the writing was better. The Attitude Era was better because when the writing left something to the imagination, the guys got to tell the story.
And it showed off their talent, and that's
where I occasionally, all of the moments that I feel like I like from AEW, which are few and far between, are those same moments where you can tell that they've taken the cuffs off the guys a little bit and they go, go tell this story. And some of the guys can handle that and some of them can't, but the times when it's good, it's
great.
Your Cody Rhodes promos.
They're great.
That's why they're good in AEW. Because
your MJF.
Yeah, your MJF. Your Cody Rhodes, your Chris Jericho.
MJF's a good breakout star for 2020.
Yeah, I was just considering WWE. Honestly, if I had to make another pick for Bray, sorry, MJF.
MJF, Darby Allin.
2020 will be the year of MJF.
Jungle Boy. That's easy.
There's a lot of potential there, but yeah.
And again, this is there's so many moments that you can really put into it.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, my number one. This is, has to be my number one, and I don't think anybody's gonna argue.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 30, YesSlMania.
YesSlMania. Yeah, yeah. That WrestleMania and everything. The streak ended in the middle of the card, and then there was still the want to see the world title match with Daniel Bryan.
No, that's the only match they could have followed that thing.
Yeah, seriously.
The night started off hot with him beating Triple H. I mean, Triple H had his usual epic WrestleMania entrance.
Oh, yeah, like he does. He probably had a couple NXT guys with him.
I think it was the one that hit
Alexa and Charlotte. Alexa and Charlotte and Sasha
were like his like
Oh baby.
But like
you're married now, dude.
Yes, I loved that. But just like that's what I look forward to every WrestleMania when Triple H has a match. I look forward to what they're gonna do with it.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it a lot. Even Stephanie McMahon playing like medieval times, like Queen Stephanie, like one year. That was fun for me. I enjoyed that night
she rode on the motorcycle and you were on the Stephanie McMahon plane.
Oh yeah, she blacked out and so did I. I was honorable like mention in my decade moment.
That one year
when I passed out when Stephanie did.
When he went up against Sting and it was a Terminator was coming out at that time and everything.
Yeah, you know, no, it was very fun.
That was sweet.
It was very fun.
But that match with Triple H was a great match.
It was good. That's a good moment.
But he was obviously blown up after that match, so they needed to have that match at the beginning of the night and then finish the end of the night.
Yes.
But just like everything there, you know, the whole match to him tapping out Batista and...
That was probably my favorite. WrestleMania 30 was my favorite WrestleMania since WrestleMania 20.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's
not to say that there were bad WrestleManias that, but...
There were a few.
Yeah, there was 28, 27, there were 29.
There were a couple stinkers in there.
Yeah, it was just, you knew what was going to happen. John Cena was going to win, and they had the whole, like, we're going to book the main event for the year, which was just like,
I hated that. Another, like, big disappointment thing for the decade was I actually really did not enjoy the Cena Rock stuff.
The year in the making, they
had a couple of promos with each other that I thought were really good, but like the matches themselves were not very good.
They were okay. I like the first one. The first one was back and forth. I like the first one.
I really think that, like I said, the best thing to come out of that feud was some of the promos, but honestly, some of the promos themselves weren't good either. Having the thing booked for a year, I didn't care for.
Well, The Rock was never on TV.
Exactly. Right. No.
Like we're talking about this thing that neither of these guys are here. What the fuck are the rest of us doing here? What are we working for?
Never being on TV,
but the Rock
was. The Rock was. That was way worse. And then so like that's why I've always like the Royal Rumble announces the main event.
We got it because The Rock is actually busy. We know Brock is sitting up in his ranch.
Yeah. Well, so the thing is that. Brock being part-time, him not being there kind of feeds the fans' disdain for him.
Yeah.
The Rock not being there with his whole original promo being, I'm back, I'm home.
Yeah. Right.
And then I was...
I immediately jumped on a flight.
Well, and honestly, the promos I liked were John Cena kind of taking him to task, like, you're here, where are you? Well, where are you, Rock? I can't find you.
Then even after, well, I guess this was kind of during, because then the CM Punk... When The Rock beat CM Punk, everything that CM Punk said was true.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
I'm not good enough for WrestleMania. Like, I would say that was very fair.
But
very good stuff.
But yeah, I mean,
it's been a hell of a decade.
I could have, and as far as my this year 2019, I could have had 5 NXT moments.
Yeah, yeah, like, I was surprised you didn't have more of those.
I guess it's just so much off the cuff.
It's been a good year for wrestling.
It really has been.
This year started off pretty rough. I would say like late 2018, early 2019 was not very good. And I think that...
I'd say the end of 2018, the wrestling started getting better.
And
we started to focus more on in-ring stuff,
which really
appeals to me.
The last 6 months of wrestling has been very good. I would say the business has... we went from honestly it being kind of rough to be a wrestling fan to I would say that we're walking in a new renaissance.
It's not as all like Scarlet Letter is like, oh, you're a wrestling fan. You like fake stuff. It's people like, oh yeah, who do you like? Like, I find it more and more in my day to day life that like people are like, oh, you're wearing a Chris Jericho shirt, and I'm like, yeah, I always am.
Yeah.
Like.
No, so for me, my top moments, and I make it a little over five, but in definitely no order here.
Yeah.
I would say that if I had to take wrestler of the decade that just told good stories all the time, is Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
I have watched Daniel Bryan's wrestling WWE career from start to where it is today, and he has had so many ups and downs that intermingle with booking and real life from coming in with a Nexus, which I would also say, if I had to talk about disappointing things of the decade, they fucked the Nexus all up.
The Nexus was so cool.
That was so good.
Nexus t-shirts. No,
I fucking love the Nexus, and they fucked that is the angle that could have been
the original Nexus, not the new Nexus.
No, that was all bad. The original Nexus was all
God, the core was
the thing that could have been. But I would say Daniel Bryan, from coming in on NXT to have that losing streak to being eliminated to debuting with the Nexus to choking Justin Roberts with his tie to being fired to coming back at bragging rights as the final member of Team WWE and the pop I marked out.
I believe that I
had very few legitimate mark out moments. I was watching that show at Buffalo Wild Wings because they showed wrestling
movies. I saw the occasional thing there.
And I remember it was one of those things where, again, like your wrestling parties, it was loud.
Yeah.
Even when the wrestling's on, it's loud. And when John Cena, you know, is introducing the people and The Miz comes out and Cena goes, we couldn't wait on you to decide whether you were going to do this or not. So we, you know, the eighth member is Daniel Bryan. That bar just exploded.
Exactly. It's like,
I've got goosebumps talking about it.
I see that. He's legit. I verified.
And it's funny because to look at the guy,
he's
in good shape.
He was the harbinger of the you don't need to be a big guy.
That's how good Daniel Bryan is. Daniel Bryan's size... Everything about him says I should not like Daniel Bryan.
Every guy
Daniel Bryan makes it. He wrestles a style that is believable. Mm-hmm. He believes his character every time. He's got that ultimate underdog thing that Rey Mysterio had, where he fights from underneath and it works, and he gets it. That's how good Daniel Bryan is. Rey
Mysterio's a little different because he was a marketing choice.
Rey Mysterio's a high flyer, and he's exciting to watch, and he's going to put on posters. Bryan is a good pro wrestler.
They put
it's very different.
They put Rey Mysterio up front because you could sell masks.
Yes.
And kids want to see him. He was bright and he's colorful and he's friendly. Daniel Bryan wasn't that.
Daniel Bryan was the everyman.
Yeah, you are a wrestler under 6'5" and you have a shot at any point in your career to be WWE champion, you owe a thank you to Daniel Bryan.
You absolutely
He did it first. I didn't do it first, but he was...
Mysterio did it first.
He was the... But again, didn't do it first, but there's... Mysterio feels like something else. Where Daniel Bryan was the first.
No, Rey Mysterio is a superhero. Daniel Bryan's a wrestler. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yep. Rey Mysterio, I would just say, like, being a luchador.
Also, I love the luchador. Also, we've had so many luchadors this year.
This has been the year of the you luchador for you.
I fucking love it so much.
I mean, but here's the thing.
Lucha Libre.
I mean, and this is kind of a dark question to ask. Do you think Rey Mysterio would have won the world title if Eddie Guerrero hadn't died?
No. I've thought about that many times. I absolutely do not.
Rey Mysterio was on that path to be
a great mid-card guy, but Eddie passed, and the WWE had to do something, and they found lightning in a bottle.
They capitalized
with Rey Mysterio and Chavo Eddie Guerrero.
The first and really only wrestler that I shed a tear for when I heard he died.
I was
like 11 or 12.
When he died, he was... old, but it was still
I remember where I was when I found out the Macho Man died.
Yep.
Like, because that was unexpected. Yeah, he was in good shape.
He had a heart attack and died in a car accident. Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior was on Raw on Monday.
Yeah.
Inducted in the Hall of Fame on Saturday, showed up at Mania on Sunday, was on Raw on Monday.
He died before he got home.
Died Tuesday morning.
He died leaving the hotel.
Yeah.
But, you could tell.
I love that.
It's amazing. I love that. You're stating that, and you were just talking about how much disdain you had for the Warrior.
Well, I just know where he was.
As a kid?
But
I loved Hulk Hogan. Everybody loved Hulk Hogan.
Ultimate
Warrior was my guy.
Was he?
He's what got me watching. The Ultimate Warrior is what got me watching wrestling.
He had all the charisma. He had the face paint, the shaking. He was like a superhero.
To clarify, I shed not a tear for the Ultimate Warrior.
But
I do feel he has a beautiful family. Like, I feel bad for his wife and daughters. Like, they. He seemed like, if I could say one nice thing about him, he seemed like a family man.
He absolutely did, which is hard for a pro wrestler to do.
He seemed like he very much loved his family, and they very much loved him. So I feel for his family, absolutely. It's not nice to make fun of death. I'm sorry I said about Orange Cassidy earlier. I hope he never wrestles again. I don't want him to die.
Those poor girls, he saddled them with the name Warrior for the rest of their lives, which is cool, but I identify with the name.
If I dated a girl with the last name Warrior, I'd take her last name if we got married. I'd do it.
He took her last name! You know what I'm doing.
That was fucking great.
My first wife asked if I would take her name. I'm like, are you...
Is it Warrior?
Is it McMahon? Because I'll do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's different.
But no, I would say that for me of the decade, Daniel Bryan just... He comes back and he's not supposed to be over. And then he finally gets over with the WrestleMania thing. And then he's retired.
Yeah.
He's gone. And then he's back. Like, Daniel Bryan has had the most exciting, dynamic, unpredictable, real-feeling career the past 10 years. If I had to say Wrestler of the Year, or Wrestler of the Decade is Daniel Bryan. And just, I would say everything that goes into my moments, I would say most of them involve him. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that I was most excited about. I would say CM Punk's Pipebomb promo absolutely belongs on my list of things
my
for the
number
decade.
One, man.
I would say I have
not watched a promo more than that one this decade.
If I
watched it the other day. I'm like, I still get goosebumps thinking about it. I'm like, just breaking the fourth wall. Hi, Colt Cabana.
I had a hard time, and even what we've talked about in the past couple of years, is pinpointing where the women's revolution started.
Yeah.
In looking at that AJ Lee promo, I think that promo was the women's revolution starting off.
AJ Lee really helped.
Trish Stratus and Lita were...
Them main eventing Raw really put out a statement.
I'm hesitant to call that the beginning of the women's revolution. It was very good, but I think there was so much...
It was the beginning of the women the first being women taken main more event seriously.
Oh, sure. No, I'm not... Landmark, but I think that if we look at what the women's revolution in wrestling was, it didn't start with him because there was so much.
I think historically,
time between them.
Historically, we're gonna look back at it. The women's revolution will probably, personally, I think it should be AJ Lee and Paige. But I think that the way historians look at it, they're gonna talk about the Four Horsewomen: Charlotte, Becky,
yeah.
Sasha.
That will be the WWE narrative.
But I
really feel like AJ Lee
and the Four Horsewomen will always look to Trish and Lita.
Well, they were the ones inspiring them.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that. Lita
and Trish put on some very good moments.
When you say women's revolution, I look at that as a time period between 2012 to present.
Yep.
Because
so
when
it doesn't matter. There were a lot of good.
It was only
Lita
and Trish. They didn't. Right, yeah. The rest of the roster
was. I used
was
to walk. Well, time to go get something to drink. Whatever a women's match came on. Now,
yeah,
when
exactly.
a women's match comes on, I'm like, nope.
Women's match
right
was the bathroom match.
With Lay Cool being your women's divas champion, nobody wanted to see that.
Nothing
against Michelle McCool or Layla. Mm-hmm. Like nice girls and everything.
Yeah,
but
you probably liked Layla, didn't you?
I like Layla a lot. I bet you did. Big fan. First time caller. Nice little British.
We've never actually talked about that before, but I had a peg.
Yes.
And Undertaker, good for you with Michelle McCool. Good for you.
It was really funny.
Like, you needed another reason to like the Undertaker.
There was an interview he did back when he was like the Biker Undertaker, because he had Sarah attached to his neck. It was his ex-wife's name. And he goes, what would you do if you guys got divorced? He's like, I guess I'd have to find another Sarah. Like,
that's fucking funny.
We ended up just having it removed, but I remember that.
I think he covered it up.
It was, yeah. He covered it up with another tattoo. He did. No, he just. I think he just had it removed. I don't think he's got a neck tattoo anymore.
I think he's got. I think he's got more.
He has, there. He has a throat. Another successful man with a neck tattoo.
Yeah, you're correct.
That's fair. But was in that like WWE Confidential hardcover book?
Yeah,
I had that floating around somewhere. That's really cool. But so I would say that I would say CM Punk's pipe bomb promo. I would call the pipe bombshell promo AJ Lee cut to be the beginning of Women's Revolution, which I would say that is also a big moment of the decade.
Yeah.
I would say Lesnar returning. Huge deal. Lesnar returning
from UFC.
Lesnar returning from I honestly.
The prodigal son has returned. He's more badass than he was before.
No, if we talked about The Rock returning, remember The Rock returning.
That was a big deal.
I honestly was much more excited for Lesnar returning, and I remember him kind of extending the handshake to John Cena and then giving him the F5.
Yes.
And then in that match with Cena, just fucking him up.
Yeah.
Cena was
all bloody. Cena winning that match was a mistake, by the way.
Yeah,
but no, I would say that.
There's a SummerSlam match where Brock rolls over Cena. That was another one of my favorite matches of the decade.
That was the one I liked.
Cena lost that match, which he should have got suplexed.
Dominated Cena.
Like 50. That may have been where Suplex City was born. Suplexes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that was. That's where he yelled Suplex City, bitch,
and then that
was Austin 3:16.
Like, the badass is here. He just beat the Golden Boy.
Yeah. Yep. Suplex City was just something he said offhand.
And the T-shirts, I have one of them.
It was in the match. Yeah. It wasn't. He didn't have a mic. The mics, the cameras picked it up.
Yeah.
That was immediately. It was organic. That was a brand.
It was organic. And that's why it gets over. A little bit of the bubble. Organic. Yeah. Now he's merchandising.
Fans like to feel like they're a part of something organic. They don't want to feel like they're sold something.
Yes.
They want to feel like they stumbled on something.
Exactly.
And another thing, like what we're talking about, is sitting right over there.
The Bootios, yeah.
Yep.
That's probably more manufactured.
I mean,
yeah. It's manufactured sugar product.
I mean, honestly, I feel like, but the New Day.
But so, I don't, the New Day was Bootios supposed to become an actual cereal?
No,
absolutely not. Bootios was New Day believed in it so much. Mm-hmm. That they made a bad gimmick, a fucking
Bootios was a
revolution.
If you Bootios listen to their podcast, it's fun to listen to their podcast. And like, you know, we were three guys that were like trying to figure out our way.
That gimmick was doomed, and they made it work.
I mean,
I was just all like, oh no, they're stereotyping them. They put them in the church and everything, and I'm in the choir, and I'm like, I don't like this.
If I said
it seemed a little racist to me, and I didn't like it.
Big E blames himself for the preacher thing. He's like, well, I always come in, you know, I grew up in the church, and goes for a while, I was thinking this is kind of blasphemous.
Yeah,
and he's like. But
it's just a good way to talk. It's captivating.
It was the booty wrestling was literally just a corny line. It meant to because they were heels.
They make sure you ain't booty. Yeah, they were just
trying to be annoying.
Yeah,
and
they were staying positive the whole time, regardless of what the people wanted.
If I said that I would call because I mean I'm not limiting this to five, and I'm just kind of tying up some stuff. If I said that if you made a list of top, we'll call it 20 or 30 things from the decade. The New Day has to make that list.
New Day is probably the biggest overachievers.
I would say if you want to talk about overachievers,
they're going to be down as historically one of the best tag teams ever. Kofi got a world title run on everything. Yeah. The New Day's really overachievers.
Those guys.
Seven times.
Well, I mean,
they're the current champions.
They will likely surpass the Dudleys in WWE title reigns. Or it's Edge and Chris. I think Dudleys have the most old like wrestling reign. Is Edge and Chris the most. Thank you, Mom.
Yeah,
let's see who has the most.
It might be the Hardys.
It could be the Hardys. I know that there's a lot of discrepancy because there's certain singles guys that have held the tag titles for a bunch.
I think Kofi's got the longest reign.
Oh no, Kofi has spent more time as tag team champion. Oh, that there's. Kofi might even have the most runs like as a person because he's had runs with Truth, Evan Bourne.
It's either him or Kane.
Kane has had a few,
it's
too.
It's him or Kane.
Kane. I know because Kane had quite a few as well.
Kane had the record, but I don't know if Kofi passed.
I think Kofi
last
may
run.
Have.
The team with the most reigns is the Dudley Boys with eight.
Eight? They'll pass.
They're
that.
At seven right now.
They'll pass that. That's going to be.
Edge has the Edge, as far as tag team titles goes, has 12 tag team titles.
Because Edge had Chris Benoit. Did he do all them with Chris Jericho?
I thought they did. I mean,
And Chris Jericho held the titles.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. We had the Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
He had Randy Orton.
Yep. Rated RKO.
Sidebar. Edge winning the title, the title with Hulk Hogan. Like, what a beautiful moment.
Oh, man.
Edge won the tag titles with his hero.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's... He said, he's like, I marked out so huge.
He absolutely. Was,
he's who I looked up to, and posing. I'm in the ring posing with
yeah, him. Yeah, I won the tag team titles with my idol. Like, that's a beautiful story.
Anytime I've seen Hulk Hogan go out there, like, even when he did with Shawn Michaels, just out there posing and just doing the Hulk Hogan, because you all these guys, you knew looked up to Hulk
Hogan.
I would say
Edge's retirement was a big moment.
That was my number six moment in my decade. I crossed it off.
Retiring with the title, I cried during that.
Because it's
put it on the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
I remember it.
You could just tell that hurt him.
Yep.
He didn't want to be done.
He went out as champion.
Yeah.
He was the first world champion to defend the first match at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. He made history.
Mm-hmm. How many guys retire as champion?
Not many. And it was probably before he wanted to, but it was out on his terms.
No, that was
bittersweet about
it.
He said he was winding down.
Yeah.
He said he was going to be out within the next couple years anyway.
But it was still sooner than he expected. Because, like, I remember, like, I think he got that news, like, that weekend. Like,
no, it was literally...
They were wondering, like, if he could wrestle that match.
He was cleared on Sunday, but then, like, that morning, they're like, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and it was... Because I remember hearing the rumblings about, like, Edge's career, and I was like, he just wrestled last night, he seemed fine. And he was like, yep, no, I'm done.
Like, what?
And that was
one of those moments where I'm like, everybody shut up.
That was one of those moments.
I remember watching that match afterwards. Even after he broke his neck in the first place. Any wrestler that breaks their neck, Ciampa, Edge.
You're all on borrowed time.
Like, every time they take a big bump, I'm like,
Daniel
Bryan.
More sympathetic to
not, him. Not only does, because, I mean, we talk about Daniel Bryan. It's really
especially
interesting.
Daniel Bryan.
His case of CT and stuff is really interesting because I've read that there were all sorts of tests that when they didn't clear him, that said he had this problem.
Yeah.
And then we went to an outside doctor. They're like, not only do you not have this, there's no sign you ever had it.
Right. Which is
like,
weird, yeah.
Yeah, no, because there was a lot of discrepancy in, like, what was wrong. But, I mean, we talk about big fucking promos. And honestly, I remember big matches, but I also remember, like, big career-changing promos. Daniel Bryan's giving up the promo and just... crying in the ring, and then I remember
his retirement was so fucking sad.
No, I remember I remember being sad for Daniel Bryan, and then I remember that's what Bree said chant. Like, that promo took you everywhere.
Yeah.
That promo was funny, it was sad, it was inspired. Like, I just remember I was like, I need a nap, I'm drained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That took everything.
Roman announcing the cancer.
Oh man.
That was the most chilling promo.
Because you're thinking this guy might die.
Yeah, like, no, he
like,
could.
Comes out, my real name is Joe. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? You have my attention. My real name is Joe. Am I sick?
Folks, this is what happens when three guys that love wrestling get together and talk and forget they're on a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I love this, because we are just kind of shooting shit. And we're wrapping up a second, but, like, I mean, you had to tell your son. He asked you.
You explaining that story on our podcast is one of our best episodes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dad, is Roman going to die?
No, like, seriously, like, we all had a reaction. Like, where were you? What were you doing? Yep. When did you find out?
Yeah.
Because it was a moment. We all connect with this.
And last week was Christmas, and guess what my son got? I can't even remember who got it for him. Got him a Roman Reigns action figure.
Mine's in the other room.
brand new one.
Ooh,
I remember the
I remember that promo is something.
I watched that promo with you, and I remember the biggest thing was he starts, you know, my name is Joe.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna talk to you. Like, in the fans were initially booing, started winding down. And I remember the last...
Yeah, because he came out. They were booing the fuck out of
him.
There was the normal kid that was kidding.
There was one, like, as he's getting the promo, everybody stopped. There was, like, one guy. There's one line, and he wasn't into the depth of the promo yet. But he was very clear he had bad news. And the fans were done booing. And there was, like, one more short boo. And we all went, don't fucking boo him, you asshole.
Yeah, and we instantly turned, like, oh my God, I hope he's okay.
And in our room, and I can only imagine in the audience, that one guy that booed. And I'm sure
someone
looking at me go, you're a fucking dick. And I just remember that specifically being like, don't, he's got cancer, booing him.
Yeah. That guy had to leave right then.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he just was, no, I'm sorry, I misread this. Like, I overplayed my hand.
Being in the arena, if you don't hear it right or something, and you're just trying to boo him, don't care what he's saying, I could imagine getting caught up.
But it was just one. Yeah, no. You could tell it was one guy.
Like, I could have been me. I could have just been caught up in the moment, been like, not hearing what he said.
That crowd was quiet.
Yeah, no, it was like, everybody was just like.
If somebody in the crowd would have spilled their popcorn, you'd hurt it.
Yeah, no, it's there's very few times where I'm just all like, I need to understand every word of this because this is important.
Well, we only get one more podcast for the decade. This is it. So, are we missing any like crucial? I know we try to make it five. Are we missing any like crucial moments that are just like worth glossing over?
We talking like really like heavy moments?
Yeah, just big moments in general.
We covered most of them.
The announcement of the first War Games in NXT.
I would say that was a big one. That was really unexpected.
Yeah, Balor going to NXT was a big one.
AJ showing up in the Royal Rumble.
AJ was a big one.
AJ showing up in the Royal Rumble. Samoa Joe showing up on NXT.
Yeah. Samoa Joe winning the title at a house show.
That was a big one.
That was a big one for the decade for me. I watched that years later. And I'm like, this is interesting. I want to talk to you guys. I'm like, did you hear when that this first time he won the NXT title, he did it at a house show? Because I didn't fucking know that.
I would say
I thought my phone would have rang.
we talk about AEW being starting. Honestly, I think the moment behind that moment is All In.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because they're really, we had WrestleMania.
That was them sticking their toe in. Just testing the water.
We had WrestleMania, but I mean All In before it was even an AEW thing was basically Indie Mania.
Anybody that wasn't
signed to an exclusive contract, be it from Impact or WWE, because I don't think at that time MLW or Ring of Honor were signing exclusive contracts.
Right.
In fact, Ring of Honor had a lot to do with All In.
Yeah.
And they flipped the bill for it. Honestly, people look at Ring of Honor as being really stupid because not only did they flip the bill for this huge event. Give them.
They put AEW fucking on the map.
They basically gave AEW its start and also paid for it and gave all of their good talent to AEW. Like, AEW owes Ring of Honor a major thank you because essentially, my guess is Ring of Honor may not live to see 2021. I feel like that company's about dead.
Yeah, besides the Briscoes, I don't really know anybody that I care.
No, not only are they not making money, but they're also have a lot of bad press right now.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but like bad stuff about backstage politics.
Yeah, the people are getting a little tired of it. And they're starting to talk to the media about how bad things are.
People are going on the internet. And
is Kevin Nash running things there or something?
No, it's funny.
Maybe Vince Russo guy.
No, it's Ring of Honor has apparently been run pretty poorly for a long time, but the talent was good enough and they're making enough money to kind of cover for it, but now they're all at each other's throats. But we're gonna look back and see basically AEW was like, if you look at like a metamorphosis, Ring of Honor became AEW.
Yeah, that's probably the way that.
And now, what Ring of Honor is now is almost just like a shell of itself that lived on after it became something else.
And honestly, if in the next 5 to 10 years, if AEW folds,
yeah,
you know what, guys? Good for you. You went up and you took a chance. Cody, the Bucks, Omega,
mad props.
You all took a chance, and you made some noise.
More than
you're making a lot of noise right now. I
guarantee you, when they first put this on the table, people were telling them they were stupid and it was an impossible task.
Going against
the world wrestling entertainment machine that has crushed everybody and has no folly about doing it to anybody else that comes in their way.
Should look back on it. They should never look back on it if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Long term, and think it's a bad thing.
No, I think ultimately it's good for the business.
I would say,
even if they fold, it was good for the business.
Yep.
I would say, rather than, because my prediction is not that AEW will close up.
No,
my prediction is that this current course they're on will not work, and I feel like the people with the money will say, we need to bring in either we need to call out the boys run the asylum, or the boys need to quit being the boys. The way the company is run from the bottom up will likely change.
Yeah.
I think the company will last. I think the way it's being run will not last.
I think that they need to look at the way they're booking it. Like, I've told you this a lot. Like,
yeah.
Every match is booked individually. Mm-hmm. They're not booking the card as a whole.
Right.
And that is a big problem.
Yeah, they're booking
if
matches.
If your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing,
like,
it's a fucking mess. You're going up, you're going down. You're going left, you're going right. You're going left twice in a row. Right. What are you doing?
And I like what they're doing that, like, you know, Cody's running things and he's not putting the belt on himself. The Bucks aren't putting the tag team belts on themselves.
Right, and no, props to them for trying to put over their talent.
And Kenny Omega is
what they should be doing.
I'm sorry, but they should all be the top guys.
Well, so, I honestly, having them run the show puts them in a weird position because they can't put the belts on themselves, but especially in the case of the Young Bucks.
Right. We all
the Young Bucks should have been tag team champs, but they couldn't get them because it would look bad.
Yeah,
right.
No, it's for the good of the company why they're not on top.
It's not for the good of the company that they're not on top. It's for the good of their reputation. If it was for the good of the...
No, long term, you're getting young talent over, which is giving them more. They're building stars, is what they're doing. Which
Jericho should be stars.
I disagree with you. I think not completely. I don't know that all parties should be champions. I think specifically the Young Bucks were the. And I don't like the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks were the right choice to be tag team champions, but because they were more concerned of what the big picture looked like if they immediately put the belts on themselves, they did not take them. And because they had that conflict of interest, it hurt the product. Yeah. The Young Bucks, because if the Young Bucks, what I would like to have seen would have been the Young Bucks and Private Party in the finals.
See, here's what I would have did. If the Young Bucks are booking it, and everybody knows it, they should be your champions, split them up. Have them feud.
Yeah.
Split the Young Bucks up?
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
Why?
Because they're not good individually.
Well,
I don't think they're good. I'm just saying,
if they're your star appeal, you don't want to put the titles on them, you get them an individual feud that people want to see.
Sure. I don't think they want to pull the trigger on that yet, if ever. The other issue, specifically with the Young Bucks, is, I forget which is which, one of them is significantly better in the ring than the other.
There is
a weird discrepancy in talent for brothers. One of them is... I think the one with the receding hairline is the better
in-ring one,
but
Matt and Jeff Hardy.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
They were both.
They're not twins.
Jeff's very good. Matt's not as good in the ring.
Yeah, I think they both had their own individual thing, but I feel like if you split them up, not only would you get a Matt and Jeff thing at first. Mm-hmm. I think what you'd find is that the one that isn't as good can't even last in the business on its own.
But that's why Matt Hardy came out with the broken Matt Hardy character.
But here's the thing that WWE discovered when they broke him up. Matt's the better businessman.
Yeah, Matt's reliable.
And Jeff, he rang Jeff in. Because Jeff's kind of a party animal, and you split them up. Yep. He doesn't... Matt's not there to keep tabs on Jeff. Jeff ended up in all the trouble.
Jeff had more marketable value, and Jeff was a little bit more exciting, better in the ring. But unfortunately, he gave you a lot of problems that Matt on his own didn't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, that's
Jeff can't keep. Well,
it's behind the scenes dirt and stuff. But I to my knowledge, Matt and Jeff aren't even getting along right now. Yeah.
I've got two brothers, man. Just to see brothers fighting like that,
I'm just saying. Rebby Skyer is really good at running her mouth and causing problems.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that comment.
Yeah, you probably should.
I'm not going to do that. Send your hate mail to @ShowtimeShells. I think that on that note, we're going to come to final thoughts. This has been a really good podcast here, guys.
Sorry for those of you that we didn't get to your decades, but it's all right.
It's been a long show.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Jared Moe, baby.
This has been, it's been a great decade.
Yes.
I mean, and there's nothing but good things to come. NXT is... I don't know. It's as far as I'm concerned at this point, as far as the product that they put on TV, Raw and SmackDown can do it, but Triple H has got gold with NXT. The WWE as a whole is in good hands in the future when Vince, if he ever decides to hang it up, or if he just dies.
He's not hanging it up. He's not hanging it up.
Like,
Vince is going to die.
But the WWE as a whole, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, is in very good hands with Triple H. And AEW.
I used to doubt that, but I agree with you.
No, it's very, very capable hands.
No, I would say if you would have told me even 8 years ago that, because I mean, Triple H running the company was an inevitability at a certain point. Mm-hmm. That the company would be doing with Triple H, and I...
Triple H's politics back when he was the world champion, just burying guys. Oh, yeah.
No, I would say he's...
was really bad and rubbed guys the wrong way, and that's not how
if you want to look at... I mean, because we didn't even talk about it, most improved of the decade, that's a whole other conversation, but...
As a businessman.
If you want to look at it from just beyond in the ring, Triple H is... business as far as the business is concerned is way better.
Oh, yeah. I think it's finally... when he finally, like, okay, in-ring... I will make the occasional appearance, but I'm done. I really should have done more.
I think that having kids had something to do with it. Yeah, probably gave him a different perspective on life a little bit. I realized it wasn't all about him and that.
Yep.
Probably having kids, but also I think that he probably found when he was no longer threatened by the younger guys, he really liked mentoring them.
Yeah.
But before he had that job,
he was clinging to a spot, the younger guys. Everybody does.
The younger guys are coming for a spot. They resented him and he resented them.
Yeah,
right. Because they were at odds. But now he's going, I don't lose my spot to any of these guys. And he actually, he's a father figure to them.
Yeah, his spot's not up for grabs. He doesn't need to compete.
I would wager Dusty Rhodes probably taught him a lot about that.
Dusty
Rhodes was integral to early NXT. Yeah. Yep. In the same way that all these guys are learning from Triple H.
Dude, having Dusty Rhodes as a mentor
Triple H probably learned from Dusty Rhodes.
That's wrestling school right there, man. Just listening to Dusty Rhodes.
I mean, it's no coincidence that Dusty Rhodes is still a heavy part of it. They're having another Dusty Rhodes classic tag tournament.
I love that. Good for them.
But we had a great decade. I'm looking forward to the next decade. We're coming down to the road to WrestleMania, and I'm really looking forward to WrestleMania.
Absolutely. Get in the car. Yeah. We're on the road, everybody. So, very nice. All right. Final thoughts. I'm going to go next. My final thoughts are I was very happy to enjoy many wrestling events with you lovely people here and the ones listening at home and the ones that participated in this little survey of mine. It's been very good. Just want to express my love for the business, the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Some of these made me laugh, some of them made me cry, mm-hmm. some of them made me jump to my feet. I'm just doing that promo that was on every DVD. Bodies have been battered. How do you learn to fall off a 20-foot ladder? Anyway.
Trainers, runners, MTs down.
No matter who you are, whatever you do, please don't try this at home. And that's how you know that we are all wrestling nerds right there, because you know that right there. I look forward to doing many more shows with you. Hopefully we will have another decade of this very podcast, because I enjoy being your undisputed champion of the world.
Jeez.
Happy New Year, everybody. Final thoughts, Chad Showtime Schultz.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that my name is Chad Showtime Schultz, and I need to know better.
True.
Maybe in 2020, you'll buy that NWA belt.
I think I can.
But I would like to say that, like I said earlier, I think that this was the decade of Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
As a wrestling fan, he was the guy that I looked up to the most. This like that was the guy that wasn't supposed to do it that did it.
Yep.
And I feel like it's only fitting that we close out the final episode of the decade with a yes, 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 yes,
Trebuchet out.
Yes.